Blog Talk Radio.
Man, we had Charlie, Trippy, and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback, like Donnie Lou Jack, or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tittle, Ally Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of thing, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Hey, everybody, coming to a hot new episode of CMT Firesides. We'll bring you the best and brightest in the world of football, college football, anything to do with sport. We kind of blend it out, you know. We kind of get kind of crazy on this show, but we make sure we give you the biased and best opinions possible. I'm your host, Cali Mike, on with me today with my boy, partner in crime, the Mob of the South, Clavell Mathis. What's going on, Clavell?
Hey, what's good, man? What's good? Happy to be here. Ready to get into it. Let's do this.
All right, all right, all right. We got a lot to talk about. I want to go, first thing I want to let everybody know, number to call in is 347-237-5539. Also, make sure you check us out on the CMT page. We got a CMT page, and we got a CMT Firestorm group. I want to go over some of the stuff that's been posted on the group page. We just start off there. It's kind of like our quick hitter. The first thing that kind of bothered me from last week that I posted on the CMT group page was that the Dallas Police Department tweeted out that they arrested Aqib Talib. And what happened was they really arrested his brother. And they tweeted out.
Oh, that was his brother?
Yeah, it was his brother. It was his older brother.
Yaqub
Talib. But they tweeted this out, and they put breaking news hashtag, they put an NFL hashtag. This is coming from the police department. I mean, what, you know, like I said, to me, it really bothered me because it was like, for one, you know, you guys, you know, you jumped the gun. Basically, you know, you're just going to look the same. You know, you jumped the gun, you named the wrong guy, you know, and why are police hashtagging NFL breaking news and stuff like that? You know, why are police tweeting out anything anyway? You know what I mean? I mean, what do you think about that? To me, that kind of bothers me. It's a detriment to character. I mean, it's a lot of things I see wrong with that. What do you think?
Obviously, they must have some sort of issue with Aqib Talib. They really want the, you know, they were eager to shame this guy. So that's why they were probably miss. There was errors in. I mean, whether they didn't do their diligence or whatnot, they were just so quick. They were so happy to have this perception of getting this guy again, to slander his name again, that they just were very, very careless. So my thing is, they just have the Dallas Police Department as a whole just doesn't like Aqib Talib. Maybe from the situation, maybe he got off on a situation where, I remember it was something like he shot at somebody or something. I don't know what the situation was. He was involved.
Yeah, that
in
was.
In
I
Dallas,
think he, yeah, he shot at his mom's boyfriend or something like that. I think. Or,
yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're doing. Yeah, you're right. There was some kind of situation, and it seemed like he could have actually went to jail, and you kind of really never even heard about it again. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might, you know,
I think he got off on that. And, you know, they were just eager to do it, and they were really careless. But because Aqib Talib sued them for that?
What's that?
Could he sue them for that? Like defamation of character type of thing?
To me it is. I mean, to me it's, you know, it's, you know, like I said, that's the thing. How do you accidentally put somebody's name on there? You know, that's all sorts of incompetence. It's like, basically to me, that was somebody at the Dallas PD who was reading the police blotter, and they just saw the last name and saw that it was a nightclub, you know, Talib, nightclub, disturbance, you know, so of course they assume, okay, it's a Aqib Talib, and he's at a nightclub, you know, pulling the normal, you know, so, you know, football player on the fight of nightclub situation. I want to jump on this, you know, single out, maybe, you know, get my little PD on. You know, so, I mean,
yeah.
To me, you know, they definitely should, you know. I know they came out and apologized, but, I mean, like I said, to me, you know, I'd do something where they, you know, the way they couldn't do that anymore, you know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what he can do. I mean, because I just noticed, like, the reaction, the quick reaction of everybody when the story broke, they were like, man, this guy is so dumb. What the hell? You know, some people just never learn.
Yeah.
It was just interesting how quick people just went negative on this guy. It's just very interesting. But, you know, I mean, Dallas Police Department made a mistake, and hopefully, you know that whoever sent that out will be, you know, punished, you know, to punish, basically, you know, so hopefully we'll see.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, there's something to follow. You know, like I said, I want him to follow that. Hopefully he does follow it up. He doesn't want him to get out there. But he's not bringing it up in the media and make the big stink about it. You know,
yeah.
And, you know, like, just like how they wouldn't let him get away with anything, don't let him get away with anything. So,
yeah.
Second, let's see what else we got up here on the board here. Okay. You got Aaron Rodgers topping the preseason list of best QBs. Of course, once again, I'm looking at this list close to Aaron Rodgers at the top, alone at the top. We got Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers. Those are all the Pro Bowl caliber. And you got the next wave guys, which Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, Robert Griffin. Okay, there's been a lot of talk about Russell Wilson. You know, he's coming off a Super Bowl win. He's coming off a really, you know, three good seasons. Where do you place him? I think you have to start. I think you might have to bump him up into that Pro Bowl. You know, I think you have to bump him up into that third tier there. You know, I think maybe he's starting to take, you know, just by virtue of his Super Bowl now, I think you have to put him over Matt Ryan. You know, because I mean, if you look at what Russell Wilson does, you know, what he did this past season with Percy Harvin hurt most of the season, he pretty much did all that without a number one wide receiver and 330 touchdowns, you know, and led his team to the Super Bowl. So I think, you know, I kind of have to put him up into that next tier of players now, don't you?
I don't know, man. I guess I could put him over Matt Ryan. I mean, he can win the big one. Matt Ryan can't, based off of that right there. I wouldn't put him in my – what do you consider the top tier, like top five?
Well, I'd have top five as your top tier, and like I say, your second tier is your top ten. So I'd have him in my top ten.
I mean, you got Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers. Those are my top four. Number five.
Yeah, Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers. You could, you know,
I
number
mean,
five.
I don't know, man. I think Phillip Rivers is better than him. I think Ben Roethlisberger is better than him.
Okay, that's six.
Let me think. Who else? I'm not going to say Andy Dalton. I'm not going to say Joe Flacco. I'm not going to say RG3. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Let me think.
That's what I'm saying. I think he sits in. I think he sits right in there, you know. That, like I said, I think he sits right in there in that second tier now. You know, I mean, he's got, you know, I mean, what, you know, basically, okay, this, I mean, what more can he do? You know what I mean? I mean, like, you look at Breeze, Manning, and Brady and Rodgers, they're never going to get any worse. You know what I mean? They're never going to be bad. So as long as they play, basically, you know, and they can play at a high level, they're going to be in that top. You know, they're going to be in that top tier just by virtue of their, you know, of what they've already done. So you can almost even move them out of that tier. All four of those dudes, they're, you know, and you could probably even throw in Roethlisberger. All five of those dudes are Hall of Famers, you know, so you don't have to worry about them. So, you know what I mean?
You put them over Andrew Luck? I don't know. But I put them over Andrew Luck? I don't know, man. I can't really put him in the top seven, man. He has to show me more in terms of his passing ability. I mean, he's good.
That's what I'm saying. He's done this Super Bowl. He threw for 30 touchdowns. I think he only had like 10, or he might not even have that many interceptions. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. What more, you know, he's kind of like a guy where people go, we need to see more of him. And then when you see more of him, they still don't want to, you know what I mean? I mean, like, I'm not saying he's a top, you know, a top dude, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? What more do we really need to see?
All right,
before...
well, let's say this then. If he wins another Super Bowl, and he continues to play like he's playing now, let's just say he wins one more Super Bowl, and let's say the rest of his career he plays the way he plays now. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Okay, well, let's look at his line. Let's look
at
his number.
If you have to think about it, then that's no. If you have to think
like I said, if he wins one more Super Bowl and 15 years to play the way he's playing, I'd say yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's look at his number line. He's 63% this past season, 63% passed for 3,300 yards, 26 touchdowns to 9 interceptions for 101 pass rating. That's balling, man.
Yeah,
and
but, like
I said,
yeah.
And that's on a team.
It just shows that he's
efficient. Well, I mean, that's kind of better than efficient, but that's on a team with no real, like I said, who was their number one wide receiver last year?
They didn't have one.
Golden Tate. Golden Tate was their leading wide receiver last year.
Hmm.
And he's no longer with the team. You feel me? So that's, you know, like I'm saying, I think this dude, you know, he's showing that he
has that superior kind of talent to where if you get some guys around him, you know, like I say, now you got your Percy Harvin healthy and your senior Reese, or what is it senior Reese Moss or Sidney Rice or whatever the dude's name is.
Yeah, Sidney Rice.
You know, you got him healthy. You know, they drafted Paul Richardson. They got your boy from Alabama, Norwood. You know, they're trying to get him some weapons. So, I think the Seahawks believe in dude, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. They definitely believe in him. He's the quarterback of the future there.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I think, you know, like I said, I think he's going to he's definitely going to be,
you know, like I said, once we start seeing the 4 guys retire. And right now, we got a lot of guys. I mean, you know, it's not typical for a dude to be like Peyton Manning and still, you know, be in his 20th year in the league and still be, you know, the best quarterback in the league. That's abnormal. You know,
yeah.
Same thing with Brady. You know, so I think once, you know, I mean, eventually these guys are going to have to retire. You know, I mean, I don't see why they were, you know, but, well, I don't tell you the truth. They keep changing the quarterback rules to make them longer. But, you know, eventually these guys are going to have to retire. So, you know, like I said, I can see definitely, you know, I mean, you take away your Tom Brady and your Peyton Manning and even your Drew Brees, and like I said, I can see Russell Wilson being a top five. I mean, like I said, none of those guys are young. You know, Brees is the youngest one of those dudes, and you know, Brees is gonna be a 14-year veteran, man. You know,
yep.
That's just 2000. He's a 14-year veteran, so, you know. You know, I definitely could see him moving up into that next category of guys. Let's see. What else we got here on the police blotter? Something interesting I posted. I can't see it right now. Damn it.
What's going on?
Well, I had this one I wanted to ask you about, too. Shut down corners. They had the overrated, underrated quarterbacks of all time. And they had your boy up here. I don't think he's, well, you know, like I said, this is from Yahoo, so I kind of take this stuff with a grain of salt. They had Donovan McNabb as the most overrated quarterback of all time.
No. He's not the most overrated quarterback of all time.
And to me, you know, to me, it kind of real. Like I said, I've never been a real McNabb fan. He kind of, you know, especially after the Super Bowl, I was kind of turned off from him. But I don't see what I mean. To me, when people say he's overrated, I mean, who's rating him that high? You know, to me, he gets constantly bashed and criticized in the media. So,
well, we know why.
I mean, I know that, but I mean, you know, when they, I mean, who, like I said, have you ever? I've never heard anybody say he was the best quarterback in the league. You know, even when you used to, even the top five people used to put up an argument. You know, so it's like, so really, who, you know, who, how does he keep coming up on these old, you know, like I said, it kind of started when, you know, when Limbaugh said, when Rush Limbaugh a couple of years back said that he was overrated. And, you know, the media kind of started, you know, that created a little bit of firestorm. But, it, you know, it's like, who, you know, I mean, where does that come from? I mean, who, you know, like I said, who, I've never heard nobody say that he was, you know, a Peyton Manning or, you know, or that kind of guy. You know, so, you know, I don't see where a lot of animosity comes from. I mean, well, I see where it comes from, but, you know, I don't agree with it. I don't see why the media, you know, continues to play into that, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, one, you know, we all know why one. But, I mean, he would, like, have these games, man. He'd be, like, having a stretch of games where he'd be really good. And then he'd have, like, these bad games, man. He kind of plays like Eli Manning. He'll have, like, these stretch of games that he's really good. And then he'll be like, man, this guy is bad. He has these bad games. That's what messed up McNabb. But, you know, he was a winner. He could lead his team to victory in the last, when the game's online, he would lead his team to victory. He did it a lot of times in Philly. He did it a lot of times in the playoffs. I mean, you can make a case he's a Hall of Famer, but if you have to think about it, then he's not a Hall of Famer. But I don't think he's the most overrated quarterback in history. I think the most overrated quarterback in history is Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was the most overrated quarterback in history because he was just an – I know. Because he was just – Tony Romo was better than Troy Aikman.
You are lucky.
Troy Aikman,
on here right now.
Troy Aikman was just basically a game manager. That's what he was. He just didn't screw the ball.
You're a lucky factor on here.
That's all Troy Aikman was. He wasn't a guy that could bring your team back from a deficit.
Romo better than Aikman?
He was a better, well.
Come on, guys.
My thing is, all I say is this. If you had Romo with those Cowboys teams, Romo would look a lot better than Aikman would. Let's just put it that way. Aikman even said Romo was better than him. So, if you put Tony Romo with those same Cowboys teams that Aikman was on, the Cowboys would look even better. Troy Aikman was a game manager. He was not like this all wherewithal type of quarterback. He was kind of like a Jim Plunkett kind of a guy. You know what I mean? You know, he was just a guy that just didn't screw up the show. He didn't screw up. Yeah, he knew he had a Porsche. He had all the pieces there. He just didn't screw it up.
Wow.
I mean, I would say, you say, wow, tell me how I'm wrong.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, like I say, Duke could play now. I just say that I want to say that I just throw in Texas on here so he can eat you alive. But I just say Duke could play, man. But you know, I wouldn't say he's a good manager.
I mean, dude, you know, you got to figure this was a rushing offense. You know, this is an offense that featured Emmitt Smith, who was a career leading in rushing yards. You know, so it was a rushing offense. You know, but I think that he thrived in. He was very accurate. You know, nice arm. You know. I mean, he had the tools.
I mean, this was the Cowboys' mojo, man. Basically, what they would do is, this is how they would do every single game. They would run the ball, wear you down. And then in the second half, once they wore you down, they would throw the ball. They would throw the lights out, throw the ball out crazy. That's what they would do because they would establish a line of scrimmage, and then they would just pick you apart in the second half with the passing game. You know, so
saying that he's a game manager is kind of like saying that Michael Irvin wasn't really that good of a wide receiver, isn't it?
No, but Michael Irvin, I mean, I'll say this: Emmitt Smith was the driving force of those teams. Like, I mean, Michael Irvin was a great receiver, but, you know, if they didn't have Emmitt Smith, I don't think they would have won those championships. Because, and that line, obviously, too, because
Michael Irvin never put up Jerry Rice numbers.
No, because it was a run-oriented offense, you know.
But you're taking away from Hickman, though, but you're not taking away from Irvin.
I mean, Michael Irvin did make some great catches. He did make some great catches. He did have some good games. You know, he was a talented wide receiver. I'm not necessarily, I mean, whatever, man. I just don't think he was the greatest as people think he was. I just put it like this. I don't think Troy Aikman was that great, man, as people try to make him out to be.
Okay.
He was a game manager. That's all he was. He was just a game manager.
Okay. Well, The other quarterback who they have on there is
I know they had Warren Moon up there. I don't know if you're looking at the one on Bleach. Yeah, Joe Namath was overrated.
This was the one on Yahoo. It was Joe Namath. He was on there, and I agree with that. He, to me, you know, besides the Super Bowl, predicting the Super Bowl thing, which, you know, I guess back then, it seems like everybody predicts they're going to win the Super Bowl now, but I guess back then that was new. You know, folks hadn't heard about that, you know. But, like I said, he's definitely on there. I don't know, man. I don't think you can put Aikman on there. I'll agree to disagree on that one, but I don't know if you can put Aikman on there. The other thing I wanted to look at there was the NFL.com. They got a college 24/7 section, and they are running a series on the best colleges who produce the best players and the best teams. And basically they're coming up with, like, linebacker you, quarterback you, wide receiver you, and running back you. Consistently, on all these lists, there are two teams that are either at the top or near the top. Those teams are University of Miami and University of Southern California.
Okay.
Surprisingly, I don't see a lot of SEC teams on here. I mean, for being the best conference in all of football.
It is the best conference in all of football. I'm talking about college football, right? When you want to talk about college football, the only conference there is the SEC, because it proves in itself. The championships, the seven straight championships proves itself. Eight straight championship appearances. Maybe it's more than that. I think it's probably like 9 or 10 straight championship appearances. USC and Texas, I think, was the only era. Well, no, they had Oklahoma and Florida State. If you look at the BCS era, I think 90% of the games had an SEC team in it. In all the BCS championship games since the BCS was created. I'm going to look right here now. So when you always have a team from the SEC in the BCS championship game, that should let you know the dominance of the SEC. 1999, that's one. 2000, that's two.
Okay, can we agree this, though? Can we agree this? Since we didn't have a playoff,
I'll agree, okay. Like I say, over the past 7 years, you guys have had, you know, you guys have had the best. Like I said, I don't know. Like I said, there's just a lot of proof against it. You know, like I said, when I look at these lists, lists aren't me making these lists up. You know, this isn't me. This is the NFL.com making these lists up. I didn't make these lists up. I know you guys want me to make it up so it can be a big conspiracy. And, you know, this is what they put on these lists. Okay? When I look at, look at the top players of the 2000s. You got three SEC players on there. And really, one of them shouldn't be on there. But, and then one of the SEC players, Tim Tebow, was the top player of the 2000s from the SEC. Which
Well, Tim Tebow, I mean, come on, man. That team was loaded with extra talent, though, man. He just benefited from a team that had a bunch of talent on it, man. Come on, man. You're going to try. That's like Ken Dorsey. You're trying to say Ken Dorsey with all that talent at the University of Miami, man. He was just a guy that just drove the car. He just drove the Mercedes-Benz, whereas Tim Tebow just drove a Ferrari or something like that. You know.
I don't know if because we've seen other guys come into teams like that and not succeed.
Yeah, but you got to be able to know how to drive the car, and Tim Tebow knew how to drive the car.
But he didn't just drive it. He excelled to where he won the Heisman. He was in the Heisman finals like 3 years in a row.
Well, of course they're gonna give George. I mean, come on, man. They're gonna give the general the praise, but when it's really the soldiers doing the work. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you can't really compare Tim Tebow and his translation to the NFL.
But Tim Tebow is kicking ass.
That's like saying Matt Leinart. He sucked when he got in the NFL.
I mean, we're not talking about NFL though. We're talking about college.
Okay.
Matt Leinart was an excellent college quarterback. I think he, you know, he's one of the greatest all-time college quarterbacks ever.
I guess. I'll say this.
He's better than any quarterback in Alabama.
In history?
Yes.
No, man. He wasn't better than Joe Namath when he was at Alabama. He wasn't better than Kenny Stabler when Kenny Stabler was.
Whoa! He wasn't better than who?
Joe Namath at Alabama. Matt Leinart just better.
Not the same Joe Namath who was just voted the most overrated quarterback of all time.
He was a better pro than Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart was the most overhyped quarterback coming into the league in history.
He was?
That's what it looks like. What did Matt Leinart do? He was so hyped. That dude didn't do shit when he got in the league. He lost to aging Kurt Warner. Come on, man. He lost a job
you
to
mean
an
the
aging
same,
Kurt Warner.
You mean the same Kurt Warner who took his team to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but still, man. I mean, the dude was overhyped.
What happened was, and this is being complete. Obviously, like I say, unlike you, I can be completely honest when I say these things. That line, it was a combination of injuries and a combination of him really not caring about football. His thing was he needed to be the kind of quarterback because he had a good arm. He did not have a great arm. But, you know, to be successful in the NFL, it's been proven that you don't have to have a great arm. But you got to be a student of the game if you're going to be one of those guys. And Leinart was not a student of the game. He was a pretty boy. He was a party guy.
Yeah.
You know, that combined it when he got, you know, if dude was injured, you know, he was injured his first season, you know. So, I mean, you know, when you get those, you know, when you get a combination of those two, it's just like Vince Young. You know, Young never got injured, but his head was, you know, when you get a player, especially a quarterback whose head isn't in the game, they're not going to succeed.
Right.
You know, no matter how talented they were. And we see that time, you know, we see that in the Vince Young, Matt Leiner, Marcus Russell, guys who all have, you know, well, except for Matt Leiner, you know, both of those two have superior talent, you know, superior physical skills, but their head just wasn't in the game. You know,
playing quarterback, you got to, you know, you got to have your head, you got to have your head in the game. You got to be in the TV room, in the film room. You know, you can't, it's not all partying and, you know, and posing.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's why I said, man, this guy's overrated. He's not psychologically there as an NFL quarterback, you know.
I don't think that's over. We're talking about college. I mean, we're talking about college there.
You can say Vince Young's a bust, but he's not a bust. I mean, he was the offensive player of the year. I mean, Vince Young made a few Pro Bowls. Vince Young was the offensive rookie of the year. Hold on, and he made a few Pro Bowls. I don't know if – I mean, you could say he's a bust, but I wouldn't necessarily go on extreme to say that Vince Young was a bust. I think Vince Young proved that he was a good quarterback. He just didn't have his head on
straight. Okay,
Matt Leiner didn't prove that he was a good quarterback. Vince Young was the offensive rookie of the year.
Let's say this. If RG3 is horrible the rest of his career, when we say that he's a bust, he'd do the same thing. Pro Bowl.
Vince Young did more than RG3. If you say RG3's career is over now and you compare it to Vince Young's career, Vince Young did more than RG3 did.
How?
He was offensive rookie of the year.
So was RG3.
But he didn't go to no three Pro Bowls.
Vince Young didn't go
he
to
had
the
a better,
Pro Bowls.
Vince Young had a better win-loss record. He had a better
win-loss record than RG3.
Go look it up.
Hold on. You just made up a lot.
What lie did I make up?
Pro Bowls.
He went to at least two of them.
And one of those, I believe he was a reserve. I think both of them, he was a reserve.
No, he wasn't a reserve because I saw him playing it.
But he was picked as a reserve.
He made a Pro Bowl twice. He made a Pro Bowl twice. My bad. He was offensive rookie of the year, and he was comeback player of the year. He was offensive rookie of the year, and he was comeback player of the year in 2009. Vince Young wasn't a bad quarterback. I don't know what people in their heads, they, maybe, you know, that his color may get people, cloud people to think that, but he wasn't a bad quarterback. He just didn't get along with Jeff. He just didn't get along with Jeff Fisher.
That was another thing I was going to bring up. There was an article that said he was kind of blackballed in the NFL because of Jeff Fisher.
Basically, he was blackballed in the NFL. Basically.
So you don't think any of it had to do with him, his playing style, his attitude?
Definitely. I mean, what's the difference between what he does and Brett Favre does and his prima donna attitude? I don't know. I mean, I see, a little bit is him, but then, like, if someone of a different race did the same thing he did, he would get another opportunity. That's the point I'm saying. But I guess maybe Vince Young didn't understand that, and he didn't take advantage of the situation. So, I mean, there's certain things that he did that you know, wasn't good, but let's say the guy was a drug addict or he was getting issues in the law and things like that. That wasn't even the case. You know, he just had an issue with his coach. Him and his coach didn't get along.
But this is also the same guy who with Jason Campbell came out and said that it doesn't matter if he's a black quarterback or not. That doesn't matter to them. All they got to do is go out there and play football.
Who said that?
Vince Young.
Of course you're going to say some crap like that and try to get – because you want people to think this is a post-racial society. Cam Newton said that crap in regards to – I mean, I'm not a black quarterback. I don't like when people call me that. I mean, come on, man. Cam don't believe that crap he says. Come on, you know that. You know Vince Young didn't believe what he said there. He knows that he's going to be vilified as a black male, as a black quarterback. He already knows that. So it is what it is.
But isn't it hypocritical as hell, though, for him to come in after the fact and go, okay – maybe there was something more to it than just football.
He didn't say anything about race. He said he just didn't get along with his coach.
I don't know. I mean, when you start saying somebody gets blackballed, I mean, Jeff Fisher is one coach, though. How could he blackball somebody from the whole league?
Because Jeff Fisher's respected in the league.
So
that's like if Bill Belichick says a guy is a bad guy, you don't think the rest of the league's not going to pay attention to that? Even if Bill Belichick's wrong?
But Vince has got numerous chances on other teams, though.
You know, there's a lot of politics in the league, man. Come on, man. If he's gonna be signed by Cleveland, and you know, see, Cleveland just drafted Johnny Manziel, you know they're gonna give Johnny Manziel a better shot than Vince Young. You know, they put their hopes and dreams into Johnny Manziel. All right. Or if Green Bay's gonna give Vince Young a chance, you know Green Bay already has their chips into Aaron Rodgers, so they're gonna give Aaron Rodgers a better opportunity than Vince Young.
Well, what about when he was in Buffalo?
I don't know what happened, man.
What about when he was in Philadelphia?
He did. I think he made an excellent opportunity in Philadelphia. He played pretty well in one game in Philadelphia. But I guess I don't know what happened. No, it was on the Monday night game he played. He played pretty well. He threw for over 400 yards. So I don't know what happened in Buffalo. I really don't know what happened in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's a lot of politics in the league.
Yeah,
but think about it. Ever since Tennessee got rid of him, has Tennessee recovered? Nope. Ever since Philly got rid of Donovan McNabb, has Philly recovered? Nope.
I mean, recovered how?
They ain't got back to no Super Bowl. They ain't even got close to the Super Bowl.
They didn't go to the Super Bowl when McNabb left. That was like years after.
No, but McNabb took them to the Super Bowl. They took them to the NFC Championship game on a regular basis. Philly ain't never recovered since they got rid of him.
I don't know about that, man. I mean, like I said, Philly, when McNabb left Philly, Philly was on a downturn. You know,
they went to the playoffs. He took them to the playoffs a year before they released him.
Same thing with Vince Young. I mean, neither one of those were excellent teams. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I see where you're coming from. It's just, that's the other thing. I don't want to put McNabb in the same boat as Vince Young either. You know, see, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't put those two in the same boat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't, you know. I just can't have sympathy for dudes like Vince Young. I'll say that. Maybe it's just me.
Why?
But I can't.
What did he do? What did Vince Young do?
Fighting in clubs, going bankrupt, doing stuff.
Going bankrupt? He didn't go bankrupt. He didn't file for bankruptcy. That's not true. That didn't happen.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. His creditors made an agreement with him. He didn't file for bankruptcy. The media made a false report. And they had to retract that. He didn't file for bankruptcy.
Okay, wait a minute. So his creditors had to make an arrangement. So
he didn't file for bankruptcy.
So basically he was going to file for bankruptcy. Well, basically he was bankrupt and he got saved because his creditors let him make a deal.
Well, we don't know if he was bankrupt, but he had some debts to his creditors and they made an agreement.
Bankrupt means when your debt outweighs your income.
We don't know if his debts outweighed his income. We don't know that.
Well, if he had to make deals with his creditors so he didn't have to declare for bankruptcy, can we assume?
No, but we don't know if he made a deal with his creditors to avoid bankruptcy.
Why else would you make a deal with your creditors?
I don't know. I really don't know. But the thing is this. He wasn't spending money crazily. That's a misconception right there. He made bad investments through people that he hired that he thought he trusted. But they screwed his investments. He wasn't, like, living lavishly or whatever. They said he was spending a whole bunch of money at the Cheesecake Factory. He said that's not even true either. I mean, that guy was not, like, living it up, throwing money away and shit like that, like people try to portray him to do. They like to portray the black athlete doing that. So, I mean, the guy made some bad investments. But, you know, he has his own restaurant now. He got his degree. So, I mean, the guy wasn't a bad guy. That's the point I'm saying. He wasn't like a thug like people try to portray this guy to be. He's nothing like that. He never had any issue with the law. I mean, what? I mean, he don't have any kids outside of marriage. I mean, what? I don't understand why people have these issues with Vince Young. They just clump him with the rest of the black athletes.
Or did you see him get in a fight in a club in the back of the
he
strip
He got in
club
a fight or? In a club, yes. He got in a fight in a club, and what else did he do?
It was
everybody has been in a fight before. It just happened he was on camera.
In the back of a strip club because the dude threw up an upside-down hook 'em horn sign.
Okay, and what else did he do? Character-wise, what else did he do?
I mean, how much does somebody have to do?
No, but what else did he do? It's like the same thing with Allen Iverson, man. What did Allen Iverson do when he got in the league? He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything against the law when he got in the league, but he's labeled as some
Iverson. Allen Iverson was let out of jail by L. Douglas Wilder, who was the governor, so he can go to it.
That was in high school.
And he almost killed somebody.
And he was pardoned, and he didn't almost kill somebody. He was in a fight at a bowling alley. But in the thing is, he almost killed that dude. And the governor pardoned him. The governor pardoned him. So, I mean, when he got in the league, when Allen Iverson got in the league.
Wait, hold on. You're trying to say the dude they didn't beat up didn't almost die?
I don't think so, no.
Yes, he did.
No, he was, whatever, man. The point I'm trying to say is this. What did Allen Iverson do when he got into the NBA? What did he do illegally? What did he do? He didn't do one thing.
Besides the fact that he was eventually let out of jail to go to the NBA?
No. When he got to the NBA, what did Allen Iverson do? No.
Okay.
He didn't do one thing. But
no,
he's labeled
didn't.
As a
thug. Let me ask you this question, though. And I want you to be honest, but I know you're probably not.
If
Allen Iverson could not play basketball and football, would he have gotten pardoned from jail?
Probably not. I don't know. Probably not.
Okay. Just say no, man.
No. I'm going to say no. No. Right, I will admit to that. He would not get out.
So, I mean, like I said, I mean, my thing is how much – I mean, okay, if me and you can go through life without killing anybody, basically, why do we have to give people second and third chances when we get no second and third chances in our lives? Why is that?
What do you mean second and third chances? What are you talking about?
You're willing to give people second and third chances that are athletes. But let's say if you were to have robbed a store and you had that on your record, there's no college that's going to hire you as a professor having a criminal record. Not going to happen.
No.
So why is it fair that we give athletes second chances?
It depends what they did.
Okay.
If you had a DUI, you're going to get a second chance probably. At least if you're white, you know.
Okay.
Let's
well,
say
no,
hypothetically,
let,
you
let,
get in a
fight.
No, no,
like
I said,
let's,
get
let's
a,
not even.
You're going to get
let's,
a second
not
chance.
Even, let's not even. Let's
Hold
not
on,
even.
Let me
let's
take
not
a
even,
if you get
let,
in a fight. No, no, no. If you're a regular person, you get in a fight at a bowling alley, and you know you got to go to jail for an assault, you're going to get a second chance. If you get out, you're going to get a second chance. If you got in a fight. At a bowling alley.
And you have a felony on your record.
Chance.
You're going to get a second chance to do what?
Oh, if a felony's on your record, you won't get a second chance. I don't know the details of that fight. It didn't seem like Allen Iverson was the only one fighting. It seemed like he was a part of a bunch of other guys fighting.
No, it was a group of – no, he wasn't even in the original fight. It was other people fighting, and then he walked up and kicked somebody in the head.
Okay. I don't know the details.
So basically, and it's funny because it was not funny. I had a guy who went to the next high school over from me. He was in a situation like that back when it was actually a year after I was out of high school. His name was Marcus Rain. Him and this other guy, they actually killed a guy after a fight. And that was another high school kid. And he was it was Marcus Rain and I forget what the other guy. They were both top high school athletes. I knew him from track. And they got into this fight. This guy, I think the guy actually started the fight with them, and one of them hit the guy, and the guy fell down and hit his head, and then somebody else, you know, they kicked him or stomped him. And dude got up like everything was normal, and then he went home, or he was walking home, and he died, you know. And they went to jail for like a couple of years, and then they tried him. Lane actually ended up going to college. I think he actually ended up, like, they blackballed him from the bigger schools because they said no school was going to take him. No, I think that's a lie. I think a school would have took him. But he ended up having to go to, I think he went to Southern Miss or something like that. Either Southern Miss or Mississippi State. But, you know, like I said, no, you know, I mean, we look, like I said, we give these athletes a lot of second chances. And a lot, you know, it's like, you know, my thing is like, why? You know, why does somebody, you know, I got in this argument with this guy the other day in this group on Facebook. It's like, why does somebody have to tell a grown man that something is wrong? You know, or, you know, why does a grown man have to be told something is wrong? You know, you should know that fighting is wrong, or you know what I mean? Certain stuff, you know, it's like you shouldn't have to have that a lesson. That's a lesson you need to learn when you're a kid. You know, you don't have to, you know, that's not a lesson you should have to go through when you're an adult. Okay, I shouldn't fight this person. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. That stuff that should be, you know, should be learned as a kid. You know, and the fact that these guys are in top athletic shape, I mean, you know, look at that Jordan Jefferson situation. Look how that affected his life. Dude went from the starting quarterback to the number one team in the country, possible NFL career to where is he at now question. You know, all over a fight. You know, and at a certain point, you know, of course guys are going to attack him, but, you know, it's like, just walk the hell away, you know? But, you know, like I said, I don't know. It's, you know, it just seems like we give these guys a second chance, you know, dudes like Vince Young or, you know, and it's like, you know, like I say, look at Aldon Smith.
Well, what I'm saying, you say dudes like Vince Young, Mike, Vince Young didn't do anything serious. He got a freaking bar fight, man. That's all he did.
No, it wasn't a bar fight. Once again, he attacked somebody in the back of a strip club. It was caught on tape because they threw an upside-down hook and porn sign.
Okay, what's the big damn deal? It's a fight.
That's normal to you? That's normal
That's
behavior
not normal.
To you?
Well, I mean, you see people fight all the time in a damn club, man. What's the big freaking deal? The guy
exactly.
didn't kill anybody.
And how many of those people are millionaires?
Okay, that's fine. He's held to a higher standard. You punish him. But, I mean, shouldn't you be blackballed out the league for something like that? Come on, man. That's ridiculous. You should be blackballed
okay,
out the league
maybe,
for something
maybe
stupid
not,
as
but
that.
I'm saying, but I'm asking you, what is the boundary? Like I said, how many, you know, what, I mean,
felony would be a boundary. If you got a felony, that would be a boundary. If it's like a misdemeanor, it depends. I mean, if it's like marijuana, he's like has an addiction or something, I don't know. Well, I guess that's relative to who it is. I just think that if Vince Young was white, I don't think it would have been an issue. If he was Brett Favre, I don't think it would have been an issue. But like you said, he was technically given chance after chance after chance, and it just didn't work out for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't, it's just like
but,
I said.
But he ain't doing nothing negative with himself. He has his own business now. He's an entrepreneur. He's not doing anything negative with himself. You know what I'm saying? He ain't like he's back in the hood selling drugs or anything like that. You know, that Jordan Jefferson might be doing that. So we don't know.
I don't know, dude. Like I said, it's just, I don't know. He's a polarizing dude for me. I mean, I can't, you know, I want to support him. You know, like I said, he's a young brother out there. But then again, it's like, damn, like I said, I want to give people so many chances. Before, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, I'm going to call it a duck. You know, I'm going to sit there and, you know, dude, what's that? You know, it's just, that's never, you know, it's never really been me. So, I don't know. But, anyway, I want to, we kind of got off subject. I want to get back to this, these lists that we were looking at here. And I think we were kind of talking, well, who was it? Okay, well, no, it was Tex and Matt, they were talking about it on Facebook. The NFL has put up their top college football team list of the 2000s. And some of these teams actually surprised me. Of course they have the Miami Hurricanes. And we were like, okay, I want to talk about that too. Because, let's actually start off talking about that. You said on Facebook that you don't believe that Alabama gets enough recognition for their dynasty as they should.
No.
And I want you to clarify, what did you mean by that? Because I think that they get enough recognition and more. But, I mean, what did you mean?
No, I mean, one of the greatest dynasties of all time. I mean, this is the toughest era to win a championship. And for Alabama to win
How did you decide that this is the toughest era to win a championship? How did you decide that?
Because the level of competition in the NCAA is really balanced. I mean, you could have the worst.
No, it isn't. You already know where I'm about to catch you up at, right?
Or you catch me where?
You already know where I'm about to catch you up at, right? How you gonna say the level of competition in the NCAA is really balanced right now? And then on the other hand, you're gonna say by far. And then on the other hand, you're gonna say by far the SEC is the best conference.
It is. The SEC.
Those two statements. Hold on. Before you say anything else, those two statements contradict each other, Clavel.
Not really, and I'm gonna tell you why. The SEC is so deep right now, man. I mean, this era in the SEC is so deep. I mean, you got like 9 teams deep in the SEC team. I mean, the ninth ranked team.
No, you don't.
SEC at a home field. If they were at home. I mean, it is so deep right
even,
now.
Even though this the same SEC, this is the same era where we've seen a D1AA school beat one of the top schools in your conference.
That tells you right there the balance of power right now. For Alabama to do what they've done in the SEC, the best conference in the country, I mean, it was better than what USC did. It was better than what Miami did in the 80s. I mean,
what?
I think this, you can make a case that this Alabama's dynasty is at least one of the top dynasties of all time, you know. That's just my personal opinion, because the path in which they were able to do these things was so tough. I mean, we're going through that conference and winning three national championships.
Hold up, man. You never explained how the SEC can be by far the most dominant conference, but yet you say
because
this is the most level.
Eight straight national championship appearances.
Okay, I'm not going to argue that. That's evident. But yet you also said that the talent is the most level across the NCAA that you've ever seen.
Absolutely. I mean, the SEC. I'm just going with the SEC right now. Let me just go with that.
Oh, dude.
It is not.
Okay, Let's go outside of that. When Matt says that's a bobblehead conference,
that's ridiculous. A bottleneck conference or what? That's ridiculous, man. SEC is 9 deep.
Let me ask you these questions. Well, first of all, the SEC has 14 teams, but you keep saying 9. But okay, let me ask you these questions.
Exactly. Yeah, about 5 of them are kind of whack, but I'm going to say it. You've never had a situation where you had 9 deep in a conference.
Let me ask you these questions.
The Pac-12 is not like that.
When is the last time the University of Kentucky has been any good in football?
They're one of the 5 worst ones.
Okay, who are the 5 worst ones?
Right now in the SEC?
Well, you're stalling. Go ahead.
No, you're not stalling. I'm telling you the truth. You're talking about
right now, or are you talking about
in the past 9 years?
Who are the 5 worst teams?
Okay, you know what? I'm just going to go right now, okay? Let's just go right now. Right now, the 5 worst teams in the SEC. Kentucky's definitely on the radar. Shit, there's not that many bad teams in the SEC. Let me think. Kentucky, that's the only shitty team in S. Okay, Florida. You can't really say Florida because Florida can bounce back any time. I'm putting James on. I'll put Florida in there. You're talking about right now. I can't even put Florida in there for some reason. I can't even put Florida in there. I said Kentucky's really the only.
Okay, you said okay. Let's say this. You said.
One.
Hold on. You said on the usual that the conference is 9 teams deep, right? First of all, I want you to explain this to me, and I really, like I say, I want to do this as unbiased as possible, even though I know that's impossible for you to do. Explain this to me. Okay, hold on. Explain this to me. If what you just said was true about the worst teams in the SEC can go in other conference and beat their best team,
I didn't say that. That's not true. I did not say that. What I said was they were 9 deep. That's what I said. And I said that.
Okay. I agree. Okay. My bad. Okay, let's get back on
the SEC. I didn't say that.
Okay. If the SEC is that good, how could two teams from the Big 12 that were routinely in the middle or at the bottom of the conference come in the SEC and within 2 years, both of those teams be in the conference championship and beat the best teams in the SEC?
No, that's not true. Both of those teams didn't do that. Texas A&M has never won a conference championship. Missouri got
I didn't. Hold on.
That's not what I said.
Be in the conference championship, which Missouri did, and beat
my,
the top team
Texas A&M,
in the SEC, which Texas A&M did.
Oh, they beat the top team in the SEC. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they had a lucky shot, but the thing is,
let me say this about Missouri, though.
Missouri benefited from the fact that the top SEC teams in the East, they were beating each other up at the beginning of the season. Georgia, South Carolina, Florida.
Goodness.
They were beating each other up, losing to each other in a three-way circle. And Missouri benefited from that. Missouri lost the game at home to South Carolina. They lost the game at home to South Carolina. So that should tell you right now, Missouri was not as dominant in the SEC as people portray it to be. All right? They benefited from these SEC. Now, I'm serious. They benefited from these teams beating each other up. All right? It was kind of like a divide and conquer thing. You know, these other teams were beating each other up. They had an easy schedule at the beginning of the year. Yes, they did. They had an easy schedule at the beginning of the year. All right? They were playing the Kentuckys. They were playing the Vanderbilts. And then while the South Carolina was playing Georgia, they were playing Florida, they were banging and beating each other up, and then Missouri benefited from that. They beat Georgia, and then and Georgia actually lost the game before that. I don't know what it was. They lost the game before they played Missouri. And basically, what I'm trying to say here, basically Missouri benefited from that. But no, I'm not making anything up. Because they lost to South Carolina at home. They lost to South Carolina at home. So that right there told me.
Okay. Besides Missouri, how do you explain Texas A&M?
I mean, they got hot. I mean, they had a new coach. They had a very good quarterback. And they beat Alabama. They lost to LSU. They lost to Florida that year. And if you want to go this year, Texas A&M, they lost to Alabama. They lost to Auburn. So, I mean, the thing is, Texas A&M, they were just a good team. They were hot. They were a good team. That was one team. And Texas A&M would have won the
team,
Big 12. This year's Texas A&M would have won the Big 12.
So this team all of a sudden just became hot and this great team, even though I can't even tell you when the last time they won the Big 12.
They never won the SEC.
They can't. Like I said, I never said
they would do it.
They've beaten the top teams.
James, what you gotta say, James? Man, what you gotta say, James? I know you disagree with me. What you gotta say, James? James?
He wants nothing to do with you.
Well, all right. My point is this, man. SEC. There's really only one consistently bad team right now in the SEC, and that's Kentucky. All these other teams right now, they have good seasons. Mississippi State has good seasons. Ole Miss is starting to have good seasons. Vanderbilt has good seasons. Missouri has good seasons. Texas A&M has good seasons. Alabama has good seasons. Auburn has good seasons. LSU has good seasons. Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, or even Tennessee. You can put Tennessee up in there. And Tennessee's coming back, I believe. So, I mean, Kentucky and Tennessee right now. Those are the two bottom feeders consistently in the past 9 years in the SEC.
Kentucky and Tennessee
are the only two consistent bottom feeders in the SEC. And really, I don't even
what about
put Tennessee
what about,
up in there.
What about Mississippi
Tennessee
State?
I wouldn't put Tennessee up in there. Mississippi State.
What about? What about?
Teams. I wouldn't put Tennessee in there.
Okay, what about Mississippi State?
I wouldn't put Mississippi State in there.
What about Ole Miss?
I would put Ole Miss in there, but not anymore because they had like almost a 10-win season last year. They're coming back.
I don't know.
But when you look at the Pac-12, you got a lot of bottom feeders in there. You know what I mean? I was about to say Washington State. I was about to say
Washington State. Washington State was 10-1 in 2002.
No, you said 2002. I'm talking about now. 2002 12 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. No,
I said 7 years.
7 years? Who said that?
I mean, pick whatever, man.
I thought we were talking about, like, historically.
Yeah, historically. Washington State sucks.
Now, Washington State has gone through a down period. But Washington, like I said, they were when they had Jason Gesser at quarterback, they went to a BCS game. They went to a BCS.
Washington State ain't never been to no damn BCS game. Get the fuck out of here.
Yes, they did. That was in the early 2000s. Then before that, they were good when they had Ryan Leaf. They went to the Rose Bowl. What are you talking about?
They went to the Rose Bowl, but it wasn't no damn BCS game.
Yeah. The Rose Bowl is a BCS game?
It wasn't called BCS then. It was like Big 12 versus.
In 1998 when the BCS started.
Yeah.
They went to the Rose Bowl like 2002, dude.
No, they didn't. They went in like 97-ish.
Hold on. Let me hold on.
Look it up.
Oh, man. Anyway, like I said.
Look it up. I don't care. You probably already looked it up and you saw.
Hold on.
Cal sucks right now. Washington State barely. Well, they went 6-7. Colorado sucks. Utah actually sucks.
Colorado just now joined the. Come on, man, stop it. Colorado just now joined the Pac-12.
All right, whatever, man. Whatever.
Yes, in 2002, Washington State Cougars played in the Rose Bowl in a BCS game. I'm looking at it right now. Yes.
2002.
Yes. Now, I know you want to make some stuff up.
Where do they play?
Who? What are you talking? They played in the Rose Bowl. Talking about
they played in the Rose Bowl.
Played Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. Yes, you know it. You're looking it up right now too.
Oh, okay. They did. I'm.
Like I said, so you might as well. Like I said, dude. Only in the next year after that, they went to a bowl game, and they won. They won the Holiday Bowl versus Texas. The next year. Come on, dude. Like I said, that's what I'm saying. Only SEC teams have constantly bad teams like that. That doesn't happen in the Pac-12.
Whatever, man.
You can't name me not one team in the Pac-10 that's been constantly bad.
That's been constantly bad? Washington State was constantly bad for a while.
No, they weren't. Wait.
Well, I mean, you can make a case. Hold on. You can make a case for Kentucky. Kentucky had a few good seasons with that black quarterback they had. I forgot his name, man. The light-skinned black quarterback they had when they beat LSU when LSU won a national championship. I remember Kentucky had a good season then. All right? Right. Tennessee, they have a national championship. You know Tennessee's always been good back in the day.
Wait a minute. When they play,
what do you mean, wait a minute?
Well, you said, you just now said Kentucky, they did what when they beat who when they played the national championship?
No, they didn't. Kentucky didn't play in the national championship. They beat the national championship champion that year, which was LSU. They beat them that season.
What year was that?
The year that LSU beat Ohio State for the national championship. I can't remember that year. Maybe 2006 or 2007 or something like that. They lost to Kentucky.
Are you talking about from that last second pass that Hail Mary bomb thing?
No, that wasn't that year. That wasn't that year.
Yes, well, I think that is what you're talking about.
No, it wasn't.
I think it was
2007. 2007 LSU. They lost to Kentucky.
Louisiana State. Okay, yeah, they beat. Okay. Hold on, that was that game. Hold on. I'm looking at it right here. And
yeah, his name is Andre Woodson. His name is Andre Woodson. Yeah, what's up, James?
He stinks, too. You remember what he did in the NFL, right? He stunk it up.
Yeah, but when he was with Kentucky, they were good. They beat LSU that year. They won a national championship.
I could have swore that was that game where it was a long...
No, it wasn't that game.
43.
It wasn't that game. I remember watching that game on TV. It wasn't that game.
Oh, shit. Now you remember the game. Okay.
I'm telling you the truth.
Either way, they finished they finished 8-5 that year. That was the best they've ever been.
Okay. And then, I mean, what point is this, man? SEC, and I know you guys would disagree with me, man. And I know whatever. You can say I'm biased all you want to, whatever the case is, man. I mean, it's just been dominant for so long, man. For 30 years. It's been like that for 30 years.
Hold on. How many championships did they win in the 80s?
I don't know. I have to look it up. I know Georgia won some. Hold up.
No, you don't know Georgia won some. You know Georgia won one in 1980 with Herschel Walker, and that was it. Everybody knows that, and that was it.
Okay.
Their next championship wasn't until 1992, Alabama. The next championship wasn't until 1996, Florida.
Okay.
And that's being dominant over the past 30 years?
Yeah, they had the best conference from top to bottom, the teams in the conference. Think about it. And 81, Clemson. Clemson played in an ACC that was overrated. Penn State, they were independent. Miami played in a Big East that was overrated. Okay? You know that when Big East conference was overrated. All right?
Wait, what teams,
they were killing everybody.
Hold on. What teams are you naming? What are we talking about here? Why are you naming
the national championships, okay? Notre Dame was independent there and then. Oklahoma, they played in the Big Eight. Nebraska, then. Maybe Colorado.
Wait a minute. Why? Okay, what does that have to do with anything?
Are you saying
that the 1980s Miami Championships teams were overrated?
No, they benefited from overrated conferences. Okay, they played in the Big East.
Okay, hold on. So are you saying that the Miami teams in the 80s were overrated?
No, I'm not saying they were overrated. I'm just saying they benefited.
I'm going to stop it real quick.
No, what I'm saying is the path to which they got to the championship game was a lot easier.
What
than
does that have
from
to
the
do?
SEC. What does that have to do with it? It has a lot to do with it. It just proves my point that the SEC is a better conference. That has to do with a lot of things. Go on, James. What do you got to say?
I'm trying to figure out this thing with the Miami Hurricanes because if I'm not mistaken, I thought they were like independent until the 90s.
No, they were in the Big East.
That's true.
The Big East
that's another lie you just now came up with, Claude.
I didn't make up a lie. What are you talking about? Miami was in the Big East.
I didn't make anything. Yeah, they were independent until 91.
You said 91. Hell no. When they were independent, no damn 91.
I'm looking this shit up right now.
It was in the 80s.
Independent until 91.
Let me say this, too. I'm looking up here.
He's right. First of all, LSU, before the
2000s and Nick Saban, LSU was not good. You know that, right?
No, that's not true. That is not true.
I'm looking at their record right now.
LSU still had decent teams. They still had decent teams because I know when Booger McFarland was on the team, they were pretty good.
They weren't a national power, though.
They were not a national power. When they had Kevin Falk on the team, I knew they were good. They were good then.
This one, Clavel, gets silly. Name a random year for LSU before Nick Saban got there. Name one year.
That they were
In the past 30 years. Just name a random year.
Let me go with 97.
1997, LSU, even though you probably know something about them. 1997, LSU went 9-3.
Right, so they were pretty good.
Like I said, there's a reason you probably picked that year. I don't know why. Anyway, like I said, I was looking at the record of the year you just named, 1980. There were
96, they went 10-2. 96, they went 10-2.
Year before that, they were 7-4. Year before that, they were 4-7. Year before that, they were 5-6. Year before that, they were 2-9.
Year before that,
they were 5-6. Year before that, they were 5-6.
I mean, you can look at that in a lot of teams in the Pac-12. You're going to have good stretches. You're going to have bad stretches. You're going to have bad stretches and good stretches. Are you saying Washington State has been consistently been good? You trying to say Cal has been consistently been good? I mean, USC was a bad team this year.
Has like about 5 or 6 teams that are like up there near the top every single year when not really. And you said the past 30 years, not the
yeah,
past
the past
30
years,
the
I believe
past
the SEC 30. Has been the best conference in the country for the probably around the past 30 years.
That's a lie, Clavel. That's not a lie.
I believe that's true. Around the past 30, I mean, SEC's always dominated, man.
Based on what? What are you basing this on?
Based on teams, the top, how many teams you have in a conference. That's what it's based on. How many good teams you have on a conference. SEC always has the majority of more good teams than any other conference.
Okay, name me one year in the 80s when that was true without looking it up. Just name me one year.
85.
I say name one in the 90s before the BCS.
Name one in the 90s. Pick a year.
Pick a year in the 90s. 93?
93.
Let me look this up. Wait, any of them. You pick the year then. All right, you pick the year. And look at the SEC standings.
No, because I
tell me the year.
If I pick it, I don't want you to say that.
You pick the year. Within the past 30 years, you pick the year.
Let's see, 1993 SEC.
1993, okay. SEC football standings, 1993. And let's look at the Pac-12 football standings in 1993. And you go from there.
Hold on.
Are you going to the Big 8 football standings in
1993? Hold on. Let me finish SEC first.
I'll go Pac-10.
Football standings 1993.
Even though nobody agreed on that, okay, let's do this SEC thing. In the SEC in 1993, y'all had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 out of 12 teams finished over 500. Actually, hold on. Really, 1, 2, 3, 4 teams that finished over 500. With two teams that finished. Clavel Mathis, you there?
No. I'm not there anymore because I already know you're going to
And on top of that, right, one of those teams in the SEC was ineligible.
What? Oh, yeah, was it Auburn? Yep, oh, yeah. Yep. So Auburn, you could throw them out.
Oh, okay, you want to do that now. Okay, you want to do that then, okay.
That's
if you want to do that, then if you want to play that game, then USC didn't win any national championships in the 2000s. If you want to play that game, just like you guys want to do that, then USC did not win any national championships in the 2000s.
Don't pick and curtail your arguments.
Don't do that. No, hold up, yeah.
USC won AP national championships.
We ain't gonna count that. You were on probation. You were against NCAA.
No, they were
Auburn
not.
Auburn wasn't on AP probation. Hold up. Auburn wasn't
what?
On AP probation. Nope. Not an AP in the coaches' poll, but not the AP poll. That's not true.
Yes, they were.
No, they're not in the AP. That is not true. AP, they were still legitimate. I remember growing up watching that on TV. AP, they were still legitimate. The coaches' poll, they were not legitimate.
But they didn't win the national championship, did they?
No, they didn't win the national championship that year. Florida State won the national championship that year.
And they didn't go to a bowl game, did they?
No, they didn't get on TV either. No, they didn't go to a bowl game and they didn't get on TV, no.
So you don't know what Auburn did in 1993 besides their record. It don't count.
Well, no, but it counts as a winning record. What are you talking about? It does count. What are you talking about? It does count. In the AP, it counts. It doesn't count in the coaches' poll.
But they didn't win. But USC won the national championship, though, is what I'm saying.
In the AP. So Auburn's record counted in the AP.
Hold on. Because you're trying to cause confusion now. We're
I'm not causing any
AP.
Confusion. No, you're trying to act like I'm causing confusion. I'm making myself very clear. USC, you claim they were recognized as the national champions in the AP, right? So Auburn's football record was recognized by the AP. It wasn't recognized by the coaches.
USC won the national championship. Auburn didn't.
Okay, but that's not what we're arguing. No, you're arguing which team was better throughout the last 30 years, the SEC, and you said SEC only had four teams winning over 500. And then James was like, well, there's really only three because one of them is not recognized. And I said, if you want to go with that route, then we can go with the USC not winning the national champions.
You said that.
Nothing, man. All right, you're all right.
1993, the Pac-10 had six teams over 500.
Okay, I saw that, man. I saw that.
And that's probably why you didn't say it either. But okay. And I'm looking at the strength of schedule here. They also had the number one. They also had the top strength of schedule in the country.
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It's a horrible conference. But anyway.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
It was. The Pac-10 was a horrible conference back then, man. It used to be the PAC, the pussy-ass conference. That's what we used to call it at FAMU. They played finesse football. They don't play any type of physical football back in the day. The Pac-10 was sorry back then. They were.
Hold on. Y'all used to make fun of schools in football at FAMU?
Were you in there? The Pac-12. Man, we used to call it the pussy-ass conference. They would play the passive-ass conference. That's what we used to call it, man.
I was just there visiting. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, like I said, you just.
So USC came back. They didn't even
you
come
just
back
got proved wrong,
back.
Clavel. Okay, can you admit that you were just proved wrong, though? Can you at least admit that?
I'll admit, I was wrong for that year. But I still believe the majority of the past 30 years, the SEC has been the best conference in the country.
Name another random year. Name another year.
All right, 95.
You notice he's not going today. He's going to stay.
What do you want me to do? You pick the year then, man. You pick the year.
No, okay, in 1995, the Pac-10 had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Damn. They just had 7 teams finish over 500. I know the SEC didn't finish nowhere near that. And they had, let me see. They had seven teams finish over 500. Wonder what the SEC did that year. Probably nothing nice. How can I go ahead and check this out?
They had eight teams finish over 500.
Yeah.
Ooh, the SEC?
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to make sure you're not lying. You like to make stuff up sometimes. Let's see. How can I get over there?
We can pick another year, man. 98, man. I can pick 98, man. The closest team you had, guys, well, no, that was the Big Ten. My bad. I was about to say 2000 or 99, but no, that was Big Ten.
This is my point, though. None of these years that we picked, and Nebraska won the national championship that year. The Big 12 was actually looked like it was on.
And look at the Big 8 national championship in 1990. Hold on, I want to say this. I think they were in the Big 8 then.
Yeah.
I want to look at their standings.
They had four teams over 500 out of eight, and all four of those teams won 10 games. Big 8 was good. And that year,
four out of eight? Is that what you're going to go, four out of eight? Are you kidding me?
All four of those teams won 10 games. And that year, Nebraska beat Florida's ass, too, who was the SEC championship.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yeah, they did.
Look at y'all. Y'all top. Once again, at the bottom of the SEC for that year, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, South Carolina. That's the other thing. People act like South Carolina's always been good. No, they haven't. They were usually at the bottom, too. Mississippi State and Mississippi, the same teams that were usually at the bottom. So, I mean, like I say, you know, I mean, like I'm saying, this is not to say that the SEC is not the dominant conference right now. They are. I'm not going to argue that. But all that, they've always been good. I mean, can we say that we've proven that that's not true, Clavel?
No, we haven't proven it wasn't true. What are you talking
you
about,
said
man?
Over, you,
I mean,
you said,
I said,
you
yeah.
said over the past you
the
said
majority,
over the past
the
30
majority of the past 30 years.
No. Hold up. Why do you always do that? First of all, you didn't say the majority of anything.
You said over the past
30 years that the SEC was the best conference.
I think we proved
that that's not right.
I said the majority. All right, I said originally it was 30 years, and then you showed me that 1 year. And then I said the majority of the past 30 years.
Wait a minute, so one year changed your mind. You just admit you were wrong, and then it wasn't.
For every year in the 30 years, yeah, I was wrong. I'll admit I was wrong about that, but I think the majority of the past 30 years.
Oh, my goodness.
The best conference in the country. Yeah, I mean, technically I was wrong in a sense of saying for every year in the last 30 years, the SEC has been the best. But I mean the majority of the past 30 years in the 80s, the 90s,
so basically,
and
so cumulatively for the past 30 years, even though that I've proven to you that that's not right, you're still going to continue on in this.
You didn't disprove me in terms of the majority of the past 30 years.
So,
you
okay,
didn't show
so besides.
No.
No, dude, actually, no, we went
yes,
to four different.
Yes, James. And so what I'm saying is.
And I let you pick the years.
And I know you let me pick the year, and I picked the wrong year.
No, we went to more than 1 year, Clausel. We just now looked up four different years.
And the second year, I was right. So what I'm saying
what
is.
Year? What year was that?
I can't remember. 95, I believe it was. So.
No, it wasn't 95. That was when Nebraska won national championship.
They won the national championship, but that doesn't mean the SEC wasn't the best conference.
And that then the Big Eight had four teams that won 10 games.
Yeah, four teams.
And Nebraska blew Florida out by 50 points.
Nebraska had the best team. They didn't have the best conference. They weren't in the best conference.
My goodness.
Nothing. I'm telling you the flat out truth. Okay, nothing.
Okay, so let me
I'm
ask you a question. How do you choose who the best conference is? How do you choose who the best conference is?
which has the most good teams. That's how you choose the best conference.
Okay, and I just proved to you that the past
three years
we looked at.
What are you talking about?
Hold on a minute.
Past 3 years we looked at, it was never the SEC.
Oh, are you kidding? We didn't even look up 3 years. You're the one that's lying now. We only looked at two. First of all, the first year, 1993, okay, I'll give you that. 1995, SEC had the most good teams in the
country. And we looked at 1981 was the first year we looked at.
I don't remember looking at 1981. You're lying. We didn't look at 1981. Look at you. You're lying.
Okay.
You're lying like you always
do. Okay. Do you want to go back and look at it?
Let me do 30 years is my max. 30 years is my max here. It's 2014. 2004, 1994, 1984. 1984 and back. Let's go from there.
Okay. So that takes.
I can't go 40 years. Because in the 70s it was the Southwestern Conference.
That takes away Georgia's championship in 1980. Then.
We don't have we're not talking about national championships. We're talking about who has the best conference.
Okay. Look, I don't want to finish because what I'm going to do is see the thing is.
And I'm bringing somebody on here, man. I'm bringing Steve on here too. I think.
All right.
Is this Steve?
Yeah. What's going on? I just got on.
Oh, okay. We're talking about the best conference in the past 30 years, college football. That is.
The best conference in the past 30 years.
As a matter of fact, hold on, Steve. Hold on. Let's settle one thing real quick. Steve, what year do you know what year Miami switched from independent to the Big East?
It was 1991. James was right.
James was right, Clausel. Who was wrong? That's what I want to know. Were you wrong?
Whatever, man.
Were you wrong?
Let's keep going, bro. Let's keep going.
See, what I've noticed is people can't admit when they're wrong. They have no.
What are you talking about? Man, I was wrong about 93. I just admitted about 93. Could you admit that you were wrong when you said three national championships instead of we just looked at two?
No, we looked at 1981. Yes. That was the first one we looked
at. 1981. You're lying. We didn't look at 1981.
Oh, my goodness.
You're lying, man. We didn't look at 1981. You looked at who was the national champion in 1981. You didn't look at the conference. But anyway,
I looked at it, and I told you that the SEC wasn't good. You probably didn't listen or wasn't listening. Anyway, right. Steve, what we're talking about is Clausel has said that the SEC has been the most dominant team, most dominant conference over the past 7 years. I can't deny that. That proof is evident. Then he went on to say that they're the most dominant conference over the past 30 years, and I vehemently deny that. And I've proven it to him. Now, Clausel, of course, in his great wisdom, refuses to believe any proof that I've. Apparently, I'm so powerful I can go on the internet and change the records that they keep about which teams won which game and who beat who, just for the purpose of being a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the championships in the 80s and the championships in the 90s.
That's it. Hold on. That's the other thing, Steve. He also said that the Miami
teams
in the
80s were overrated.
He also said that the Miami teams in the 80s were overrated.
Steve, listen to me here. I didn't say that. I said Miami benefited. I didn't say they were overrated. I said they benefited from what I thought at the time was a big, easy Big East conference. That's what I said.
Even though that it's been proven that they weren't in the Big East at that time, they were independent.
Yeah. Right,
you're
right.
You're still going to go with that story, right, Clausel?
But they did benefit from an easier schedule. They were independent.
The only time you could say that, Clausel, that they benefited from an easy schedule was probably, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, because the Big East obviously was super weak at that time. But we're talking about in the 80s when they played Oklahoma during the season. They played Florida. They played Florida State. They played a lot of big name teams. They played anybody and didn't care who they were and whooped their ass. So.
Miami was in. I was wrong. They were in the Big East, so we can say they were independent anyway. Miami was independent. So
right, and
they, we can't really even factor Miami into this conversation in the 80s.
Hold on, wait.
I thought they were in the Big East, but I was wrong. They were independent.
What was the powerhouse in the 80s?
Huh?
What conference was Oklahoma and the boys in back then? Was that the Big Eight? What was it?
The Big Eight.
Yeah, they were supposed to be the most dominant conference in the '80s. To be honest with you, that's what they said. You know,
that's what they said, but it wasn't the case. It wasn't the case.
So what was the case?
It was the SEC. That's what the case was. The SEC was a dominant conference in the '80s, and the '90s too.
See, these are awesome. These are all lies that aren't substantiated.
I don't make any lies up. Hold up, like we're simple. Okay, Miami in 1987, this is Miami's schedule here. Okay. They played Arkansas, they played Florida State, they played Maryland, Cincinnati, East Carolina, Miami, Ohio, Virginia Tech, Toledo. Okay. They were playing a lot of weak teams, those Miami teams in the '80s. So they played Florida State, they played Oklahoma, they played Notre Dame, and those are the three. Those are usually the three toughest games of the year.
Hold on one second. Arkansas was ranked number 10 that year. South Carolina was ranked number 8 that year. They played six ranked teams. Hold on, they played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They played 5 teams who were in the top 10 that year, Clausel.
You got to understand, how you look at the teams now is not how they were back then, Clausel. You know what I mean?
He knows that. Yeah. He knows that. But it's called lying, Steve. That's what it's called. He knows it. It's called lying.
Whatever.
And they kicked the hell out of all those teams too. And they kicked the hell out of all those teams too, by the way.
Yeah, they did. Hands down.
Yep, on their way to the national championship. So you were just now proven wrong again, Clausel.
Whatever, man. I wasn't proven wrong at all. I'm saying the best conference for the majority of the past 30 years was the SEC.
Okay,
you haven't shown me anything to disprove it. You didn't disprove anything. What are you talking about? You just showed me the national championship. I'm talking about conference. The conference with the majority of the best teams was the SEC. You keep saying you didn't prove me wrong. You didn't prove me shit.
How can I prove it to you without you making up?
Give me 5 years. Give me 5 years within the past 30 years, okay, where the SEC didn't have the majority of the best teams.
Okay, I just get okay before
you got okay, me 1993. Yeah, that's one. Give me four more.
Hold on.
Between 1984 and now, give me four more years where the SEC wasn't the best team.
Hold on. We already did 93 and 95.
You didn't do 95. What are you talking about? You didn't do 95. 95, the SEC had the majority of the best teams.
No,
or they were tied at number one. Or they were tied at number one.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were. Number wise,
okay.
Not number.
What do you mean?
Just because the Big Eight had four, if the SEC had seven, if it had eight teams over 500, and the Big Eight had four teams over 500, that doesn't mean the Big Eight was better than the SEC team, even though the Big Eight only had eight teams. That doesn't necessarily mean that. Well, James, you gotta speak up, man. I can barely hear you.
Even though they had four teams that finished with 10 wins, and they only had.
But my thing is, the thing is,
you gotta speak up, man. We still can't hear you, bro.
Yeah, we can't hear you, Jam.
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm saying like for the last 15 years, probably more than that. I'd say about 20, right? SEC had like 12 teams in their conference, right?
Yeah.
So pretty much you're going to have at the very minimum six of those teams be above 500 regardless. You see what I'm saying? And then add to the fact that, most of them play those, you know, the D1AA or FCS schools, so that's going to pad up the record. So when you say that the most teams, yeah, they're going to have about six because they're going to be six out of 12 or six out of 14. while the other conferences have like about 4 out of 8 or 5 out of 10.
Like, exactly. Like I said, the Big Eight had 4 out of 8, and those 4 teams won 10 games apiece. Like I said, Clausell's not crazy, man.
Whatever, man.
Okay, no, no. Let me pick another random year. Let's pick 1990. Let's look at 1990. Okay, that's a 90.
Yeah, man.
1990.
You ain't pick. That shit ain't random, man.
The SEC had 5 teams over 500 out of 10. They were 50%.
So you're going 50%. I'm not going by 50%. I go by numbers.
Okay, that's 5 out of 10. Let's see, your best team that year was University of Florida. And it looks like Florida went 9-2 that year, and that was your best team. And they went to a bowl game. I'm not showing it. Well, all I know is they got their asses whooped by Florida State at the end of the year. I know that much. But it doesn't show which bowl game. I don't know. Maybe they were. I don't know if they were on suspension or not. But it does, or if they were on a probation or something. But it doesn't show them going to a bowl game. But they were 9-2. That was the best team.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, they, like I said, I mean, it's not, I mean, dude, okay, let's, you know, and like I said, to be clear, I'll go to another conference, too, in that same year, in 1990, let's go look at, independent,
Southwestern Conference, I don't know, man, pick one, man.
The Southwestern Conference. What the hell? I want to pick them. Sounds like it might be a setup for you to win.
And they have more teams than the SEC.
Who was in? Who had? But that's a conference that's no longer around though. So who was in it really? I don't know.
No, but they had Texas. They had Texas A&M in there. They had I believe they had Arkansas then back then. They had
you know,
Southwestern Conference was deep.
I'm looking at the independents here. There was a lot of independent teams in the 80s. Penn State was independent. Miami was independent. Florida State was independent. Virginia Tech was independent. South Carolina was independent. Syracuse was independent. Pitt was independent. West Virginia was in. Boston College was in. There's a lot of independent teams in the 80s. There going through the 90s. So it's kind of. I don't know. Which is also leading me to believe that SEC being dominant crap really isn't true because between Penn State. Hold on. No, let's be real.
You got four more years to find out.
Let's be real. Between Penn State, Notre Dame, and Miami, that's what? That's 8 of the championships in the 80s, ain't it?
Oklahoma? Didn't Oklahoma have a championship in the 80s?
Yeah, Oklahoma had a championship.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So, but I'm saying, I mean, that's 3 schools right there that got the majority of championships in the 80s. So how is the SEC still considered dominant? And that's just the independent.
Because they had the majority of the good teams. That's why. When you say dominant, I said they had the best. They were the best conference in the past 30 years.
Well, you can make that. You can make that argument,
huh?
I said you can make that argument because those teams weren't. What he's saying is that those teams weren't in conferences, so you can make that argument and say that. But if those teams were in conferences, you couldn't make that argument in the 80s. They were in a conference, but they weren't doing nothing. You know what I mean? It was the other team
everybody. Exactly. There's that, and also the fact that those teams were that dominant. If those teams were that dominant, then how is the SEC dominant? If those teams
being the Miamis and Hold on.
Notre Dame, Miami, Penn State, and I forget which other school. Florida State. Like I say, between those two. Like I say, Miami won what? Miami won 3 in the 80s. Notre Dame won 1. Penn State won 1. That's 5 right there. So how is the SEC dominant?
Those teams didn't want to join the SEC. Miami didn't want to join the SEC. They knew they had to go through a rough spot. Florida State was offered to join the SEC back then, but they gladly refused and went to the ACC.
But once again, you're not.
Florida State was a dominant team in the 90s, you know, but that doesn't mean, you know, they also benefited from a very weak ACC schedule. I mean, it was like maybe two, three years before Florida State even lost an ACC game.
Is that because they were bad, or because ACC was? Is that just because Florida State was that good, or because ACC was bad?
They were never really challenged during conference play.
That's a lie.
Who challenged them in the 90s?
Look at the year 1998.
No, I'm not talking about 1998. I'm talking about between that – in that 90, when they first – that 92, that 95 range, ain't no team in the ACC challenged Florida State. Florida State won every single ACC game. Until they lost to Virginia with Tiki Barber. I remember that game. So, I mean
– Wait a minute. Hold on. But then, I mean, that was when the ACC was basically first – damn near first born, man. Once Miami,
no, it wasn't. That's not true.
Hold on. Who was in the ACC before that, Dan Clavel?
You had Maryland, you had Clemson, you had Wake Forest, North Carolina.
In other words, you had basketball schools. Duke, there was a basketball conference.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, before Florida State came there, like I said, that was really his birth as being a football conference. Then you had Virginia Tech, Miami, all these other schools start coming in there. They were hella good.
Yeah, but that was in the 2000s when Miami and them came in there and Virginia Tech. But the ACC already had.
Virginia Tech came in the ACC when? I thought they were in the ACC in the 90s.
No, they were in the Big East.
Miami, Virginia Tech, and Boston College all came in like 2004, I believe.
Yeah, they were in the Big East. But
they had Florida State.
You have not proven that the SEC has been a long time ago.
And you haven't proven that it hasn't.
The burden of proof is on you. You're the one trying to make it.
I've proven it to you. I've said the past 30 years, the majority of the years, the SEC was the best conference. At least 25 of those years.
So out of 30 years, only 5 years the SEC wasn't the best. But yet every year we put.
I don't know. I'm kind of sketchy. That might be the only year that you could find.
But every year we've looked at, none of those years have been proven.
What are you talking about? The majority of the good teams have been in the SEC. Ninety-five. It was the majority of the teams.
No, it wasn't. We just proved that. We just looked at it.
No, you proved it. 93. It was 93. You proved.
Look, we looked at. I keep telling you, we looked at 95 too, and I told you that four.
No, and you know use those four teams from the Big Eight, and you're saying because they had four teams out of eight, the Big Eight was better because in better proportion. That's what you proved. You didn't prove that it was a better conference.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they only had eight teams in their conference, and four of those teams won 10 games.
Okay.
That means that's a better conference than the SEC.
No, it doesn't. SEC had more teams over 500, though.
So because the team goes 7-6. So because the team goes 7-6, that means they're better than a team that's won 10 games.
It depends what the team that won 10 games played, who they played.
Nebraska, who beat the shit out of Florida, who was the SEC champion.
No, but what about the other teams?
Well, since they were all in the same conference, I'm going to assume they all played each other. They only had
eight. Yeah, they played other teams too.
They represented their conference and got their behind whooped on national TV.
Yep.
Yeah, we know that, man.
Lawrence Phillips.
And you pick 1992.
Tommy Frazier looking like Superman.
And Lawrence Phillips.
Yep. Yeah,
you
I mean, dude, like I said,
yeah,
anyway, like I said, I don't want to linger on this for too long, but you haven't proven anything. I just want to get that.
You ain't proven me. You ain't proven me wrong.
The burden of proof is on you. You have not
and
proven
I,
anything.
Well, you know, hey, it's like this. I show you the evidence. 7 straight national
okay.
championship games, 8 straight national championship appearances. I mean, I show you the burden of proof. It's up for you to believe it. I can't control what goes on in your head, Mike.
Okay.
You know,
I admit
if
it,
you don't
want to
believe
it.
Anything, you ain't got to believe it. I mean,
hold
if
on.
Y'all guys
hold
don't
want
to believe it, you ain't got to believe it. I've showed
it.
You the evidence. It's up for you to believe it.
You showed the evidence for 7 years. That's not even a third of 30. I mean, what are you talking about, dude? Quit acting crazy. Every other
I'm
year,
not acting crazy. I'm not acting crazy. I'm telling the truth.
Every other year you named, you've been
it's up for you to believe it, man. I mean, just the dominance of the SEC, man. It's just and really and this is oh yeah, James. This is what we were. I mean, I'm not James, but Steve. This is what we were talking about here. All right, and I know you're going to disagree with me with this. All right, we were saying this era that Alabama has done. All right, these three national championships to do that in the SEC. To do that in the SEC, all right, that says something right there. Because I said Miami benefited from a weaker
ABC
schedule.
Hold on.
I said this dynasty. This dynasty.
Better than Miami's dynasty.
No, I did not say.
Yeah,
I said, no, I said, I know you're going to disagree with me, Steve. Steve, I know you're going to disagree with me. But what I said was, this era, this the Alabama dynasty is better than that Miami dynasty in the 80s. I said that. All right.
Why would you say that?
Why would I say that? Because the path to get to the national championship that Alabama went through those 3 years was tougher than what Miami did, in my opinion.
Even though we just now proved that you didn't know what you were talking about.
You didn't prove anything. Let's see. I want to hear what Steve got to say.
You didn't know what you were talking about.
Look, you can't really say that. We're talking about different eras of football, for one. And two, everybody says SEC is the best conference because they have all that, you know, all that there and competition and they knock each other out or whatever. But, you know, there was a couple times Alabama was playing some cupcakes on that schedule too, man. So, I mean, it's not like they played every...
I want 2009 Alabama team. Hold on, let me see.
What was Les Miles complaining about? Like, how is it fair that Alabama get to play these teams and we got to play even harder teams than they do? You know what I mean? So Alabama didn't have to play Florida every year.
No, they don't have to play Florida every year. It's a rivalry, but that's different. It's a rivalry.
It doesn't
it's
matter.
A rivalry.
Miami had to play Florida State every year. You know what I mean? They played Notre Dame a lot of times. Notre Dame upset them. You know what I mean? So it's like back in the 80s, Miami played whoever wanted to play them. It got to the point where they didn't even want to play Miami. Steve Spurrier got to Florida and said, I will not play with Miami forever. Whenever I'm here, I'm not playing Miami. And that's what he said. So the last 2 years when he got spanked by Miami, he quit. You know what I mean? So that's what happened. When you play a historic program like Miami, I mean, Alabama was in the dumps for how many years? I mean, years. Clausell used
years.
To be looking sick on
years.
Campus.
Years. Y'all best player. Y'all for years, y'all best player was Tyrone Prothero.
Whatever.
Or
man.
Sean
whatever.
Alexander.
We ain't talking about that. We talking about dynasty. We talking about dynasties right now. And you said
well,
Alabama
if you
benefited from a weak schedule. I mean.
Let's analyze it for real. Then let's be serious. Okay. Besides schedule. What else makes a dynasty? I'll say this. One of the things that I look for in a dynasty, and I don't know if Miami did this, but I think that you have to win. I think you have to defend your championship. I think you have to win back-to-back championships. And Alabama did do that, so I'll give them that.
Yeah.
I think in any sport to cement your dynasty, you have to defend at least one championship. I don't know if Miami didn't do that.
Because the road to the national championship was a lot harder. They didn't have no BCS or BS that they
that's
got
true.
Now.
That's,
you know what
that's
I mean?
True.
They didn't have
that's
a conference
true.
Game to go to re-up when I lost during the season and still go to the national championship game. They didn't have none of that. It was one and done. You know what I mean? So that's why I said there's two different eras we're talking about here. You're talking about where you can go to a BCS conference, a conference championship game, and you lost in the season and still go to the national championship game. That's the most ludicrous thing I ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? So I really can't say that. You really can't say that.
Hold up, Miami won in 1991. Hold up, Miami won in 1991 and won the national. I mean, they lost the game in 1991, I believe. No, they didn't. My bad. They didn't lose the game in 91.
They lost in 92 to Alabama. Alabama had that stick. Alabama had that stick that year.
Yeah, I'm talking about 1990. Hold on. Who won in 19? Colorado won in 1990. My bad.
Colorado won in 90. Actually, come and think about it. Alabama shared that championship with Washington in 92, didn't they?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. It was 1990. That Washington shared it with Colorado.
And then Miami came
back.
I thought
Washington won outright. I thought Alabama's championship was a split national championship.
Hold on. 1989, Miami lost to Florida State that year and won the national championship still that year.
Of course, 1989, Notre Dame won the national championship.
No, they didn't. Notre Dame won the national championship in 1998. 1989... Miami won it.
Well, you're talking about the season. I mean, they played in 1998. I mean, they played in 89, though. But yeah, okay, I see what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, Notre Dame won that. You know, made Lou Holtz look like an all star. But when Miami came back in 92 to defend the national championship, they lost to Alabama, point blank.
Yeah, Alabama beat their ass. But what I'm saying is,
dude, they did not beat their ass.
Yes, they did beat their ass. Alabama beat their ass. No, that's not true. Alabama beat their ass. I remember watching that game growing up.
I remember watching that game, too. Our top wide receiver wasn't even playing.
We got Lamar Thomas. Remember when Lamar Thomas and George Cheek ran his ass down? Lamar Thomas was the fastest player on your team, right?
No, he wasn't. The fastest man on our team. Returned the kick in that game. Kevin Williams. He was the fastest man on our team.
Well, Lamar Thomas had to be number two or number three.
Yeah, he was pretty fast, you know. But we didn't have our top wide receiver in that game, Horace Copeland. That was the man making all the catches.
I guess, man. But y'all still got your ass whooped, man. Y'all got your ass whooped that game. You can't even do that now. Y'all got your ass whooped that game. Come on now. You got 34-13, and it wasn't even really that close then. So what I'm saying is, well, anyway, man, I don't even want to go back that far. But my point is this. This Alabama era, I think, is a little bit better than Miami Hurricane in the 80s. I think Miami in the 80s, they get their recognition because you guys have a lot of good pros. But I'm just talking about strictly college football.
Well, I know you're going to go there because I was going to kill you on that.
I know. We ain't talking about the pros.
even right now. These so-called Alabama teams ain't got nobody doing nothing in the NFL. Nobody.
We ain't worried about that right now. Hold on, though. Michael Irvin, okay, from that 80s Miami dynasty, Michael Irvin, I mean, okay, Bernie Kosar.
Leon Searcy. We can keep going. Russell Maryland.
Yep.
There's a lot of people that would. You don't want to start name dropping, Fazel. You will lose that battle.
All right, I'm fine with that. Okay, I'm cool with that. But what I'm saying is this: in terms of college football dynasties, I think this Alabama dynasty was a little bit better because the path to get to the national championship, I believe, for Alabama was a little bit tougher than the Miami's path.
But yeah,
that's all I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that we had better pros. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that our dynasties, we had it. And we're still going to add on to our dynasty. I really believe that. I think this year's Alabama team, in terms of talent, is up there with that 2001 Miami Hurricanes team.
I don't know, man.
In terms of college.
What are you basing any of that on?
I mean, Alabama has three running backs that can go in the first round. Five-star running backs right now.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. All right. We got receivers. Okay, who are
these three running backs?
You got Derrick Henry. You got T.J. Yeldon, Kenyon Drake. You got Derrick Henry, T.J. Yeldon, and Kenyon Drake.
So in other words, you got T.J. Yeldon, who underachieved big time last year.
He didn't underachieve. Yeah. What are you talking about? He ran over 1,000 yards last year.
What did he do in that bowl game?
He was outplayed by the better running back, Derrick Henry.
and you got Henry.
So let's just tell you right there. TJ Yeldon's a first round running back, and I don't know if people are saying running backs are devalued, but TJ Yeldon's a first round running back. All right, and he's still got outplayed by Derrick Henry.
Where are you basing any of this off of? What is this based off of? If Eddie Lacy wasn't a first round running back and he was better. All these guys that you just now.
Eddie Lacy was not better in college than T.J. Yeldon. Eddie Lacy is not better than T.J. Yeldon in college. He's not. No, he's not. In college, no, he's not. He's not. I'm not insane. I've looked at their careers. Look at Eddie Lacy's best season. Look at T.J. Yeldon's best season. T.J. Yeldon was better than Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy senior year in Alabama.
Eddie Lacy is better than Ann Mark Ingram. You know that, right?
Eddie Lacy was better than Mark Ingram at Alabama.
Hey, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the NFL.
Well, we can't compare that because these guys haven't got to the NFL yet. T.J. Yeldon hasn't got to the NFL. I'm just talking about their Alabama careers.
But let me ask you this. Do you think T.J. Yeldon is better than Willis McGahee?
No.
And let me ask you this. And let me – hey, Clausell.
Hold on. Let me say this. Hold on. T.J. Yeldon's freshman year versus Willie McGahee's freshman year, T.J. Yeldon was better. T.J. Yeldon's sophomore year and Willis McGahee's sophomore year, Willis McGahee was better.
That's not what the man asked you. He said, is T.J. Yeldon better than Willis McGahee? Yes or no?
No, he's not. He's not.
Okay. Let me do it for you, Steve, because I want to get a piece of closet. I'm gonna let him talk too hard. Name me one Miami receiver that's better than Andre Johnson.
One what?
Name me one Alabama wide receiver that's better than Andre Johnson.
Was Andre Johnson dominant in college?
Yes, he was. In 2001, if you forget that year, because I went to the Florida State Miami game that year, one of the first plays, the man bombed the hell out of Florida State's defense. He was dominant out there, my man. Like, it was ridiculous.
Hold on. Don't let him sidetrack you.
I'm not saying anything, man.
Okay, I'm talking about college.
We're comparing college careers. College.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, yes.
Andre Johnson was dominant.
Name one that was better than him.
Andre Johnson was an All-American. Hold on. Andre Johnson was an All-American in college?
Yes.
I don't see that. Where? I don't see that.
You're lying. What list are you looking at?
I'm looking at Wikipedia right now. It didn't say he was an All-American in college.
Wikipedia.
I remember Andre Johnson came on the scene. Yeah, he had a good game against Florida State. And I remember him coming on the scene when he had a really good game against Nebraska in the Rose Bowl. And the scouts were like, "Man, this guy's good."
I could name you the All American wide receiver, or like
Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne, was he really all that when he was at Miami?
Yes, he was. I could name you.
Oh, but was he an All American at Miami when he was playing at Miami?
Name me an Alabama receiver better than Ben Santamaro.
Better than Reggie Wayne.
Reggie Wayne, do you understand what Reggie Wayne did at Miami, my man?
What did he do at Miami?
That man caught everything that was thrown to him.
Was he an All-American? No, was he an All-American?
He was the number one receiver when he was there.
No, that's not the answer to the question, though. Whatever.
Hold on, Carville. I can name an All-American.
I'm looking at Reggie Wayne. He was good then. He's the Miami all-time career receptions record right now.
Yes.
All right, yeah,
the
we
man.
Don't have a player. Okay, Mike, we don't have a receiver that was good at Santana Moss at Miami, okay? Is that what you want to hear? Or maybe David Palmer. We got David Palmer.
But you got to understand. But you got to understand. But Clausell,
what are you talking about?
Clausell.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is that Santana Moss was the secondary receiver to Reggie Wayne. People that actually watch the football games, like, he was a secondary receiver to Reggie Wayne.
Yes,
Santana
was.
Moss was just he was the spark guy. You know what I mean? He did kicks. He did, you know, little out routes and little slants.
Returns,
and
yeah.
took him 70 yards. Or he would Randy Moss, he would moss somebody. You know what I mean? That's about it. The main receiver at Miami when Reggie Wayne was there was Reggie Wayne. And it's proven through his records.
Okay, so that takes care of wide receiver and running back.
Let's get back to the original point here, all right?
Alabama team is going to be better than 2001 Miami. I think that has been proven not to be true.
It may be.
That's false, right?
It's stacked, man. Alabama's stacked, yo. Except for at the quarterback position. But all we need is some sort of Ken Dorsey type of dude to just win in there and just don't fuck up the situation. We're good.
Wait a minute.
We're
hold
loaded.
On. Okay.
We are, Alabama's loaded at every single position except for the quarterback. They're loaded.
And why?
Who's y'all? Who's your tight end?
Hold on. Steve, you said Amari Cooper? You said
and
wide receiver?
Andre Johnson is better than Amari Cooper, yes.
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 You only have,
yes.
You can
Andre
name one. Miami had plethora of receivers. Y'all can name one receiver. You understand? That's what
who else? Say, hold on, who else from that 2001 was on that 2001 team at receiver was good?
Kellen Winslow Jr. at tight end. Kellen Winslow Jr. at tight end.
He was at tight end.
Okay, name y'all some.
Okay, name your tight end then.
Name
your tight end.
And Kellen Winslow wasn't really even playing in the 2001 team that much. He came on in his sophomore. Yes, what? He was a sophomore in 2002. He was playing in that game when they lost the
Okay, I'm sorry. Jeremy Shockey.
All right, yeah, he was good.
Kellen Winslow was on the special teams, but he did play though.
And okay, name your tight end that's better than Jeremy Shockey.
Receiver, give me who was the other receiver outside of
hold up, I'll give you hold up, Claudia.
No, you gave
okay,
me a tight
okay,
end. You gave me a tight end. What's the receiver, Steve?
Andre
outside
Johnson.
And hey, who else?
Yeah, Darryl Jones.
Who are you?
Hold on. Let me say this real quick. Amari Cooper, college career-wise, Amari Cooper's an All-American type of receiver. I don't know what you're talking about. Amari Cooper.
All-American caliber. What does that mean?
Hold on.
Hey.
Hold on.
What does All-American caliber mean? What does that mean?
You can make a case. You can make a case that Amari Cooper's the best receiver in the country. I don't know what you're talking
what
about.
What does that mean?
You're talking about Amari Cooper's whack. Come on, man.
What does that mean?
Let me put somebody else on the line here. I know this is David. I know he's going with the Miami team. Let me put David here. All right, man. What you got to say?
What's the question?
Man, we just comparing dynasty.
He said, "Okay, hold on, no, David. Let me lay out to you what he said. He said, Clausell said that this year's Alabama team." Is going to be better than the 2001 Miami Hurricanes.
I didn't say they're going to be. I said they could be.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Exactly. Let's see. So, and then I said the era, this era, this dynasty for Alabama is a little bit better than that Miami dynasty in the 80s because the path to get to the national.
Okay, hold on, brother. I'll give you this.
That's what I said.
I'll give you this. They defended their national title, which I consider. I'll give you this. Alabama defended their national title, which I consider to be key in a dynasty. But let's look at all the aspects.
And
we have to look at. We have to, we have to hold up. Hold up. We have to look at NFL production. We have to.
No, you don't have to look at NFL production because we're
just
looking at college.
That's part of college football. No matter how you look at it, college football is played so the best players can go on to, and it's part of it. So you have to factor that in. You have to.
And no, you don't have to factor that in. That's not true because the best team considered in college football history is 1995 Nebraska, and they weren't stacked with NFL talent on that team.
They had hella NFL players on that team. What are you talking about?
They weren't stacked with NFL talent. No, they didn't.
Grant Winstrom, Aaron Taylor, Amon Green, Lawrence Phillips. I mean, how many do you want? Those are dudes I can name on top of my head.
Okay, but they weren't stacked like the Miami team.
what do you want? How many do you want?
I mean, 7 or 8.
Okay, I can guarantee you
NFL. No, we're strictly talking about college. That's what we're comparing.
No, you have to. Like I said, you can't base everything off NFL production. But NFL production has to be a factor. Yes, it does.
No,
it has to be a factor.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. When you're talking about a dynasty, yes, it does. It has to be a factor.
That's crazy, man. How are you going to talk about something about this? These are the factors that I say.
No. I say you look at
your argument. That's what you want to do. But anyway,
I just admitted to you that Alabama defended their national championship, which is something Miami didn't do. So obviously, I'm not naming stuff to win an argument. Actually, USC did defend their national championship.
No, they didn't win a championship, really, but they keep going.
They won the AP championship in 2003.
It's not recognized.
Yes, it is. And they came back and won it again in 2004. And come to think about it, they went to 3 straight national championships. But anyway, we're not talking about USC right now. They're much better than Alabama. We're talking about you guys.
This Alabama team was better than USC.
How y'all defining the dynasty?
Okay, David. Let me ask you a question, David.
I'll give you a definition. Hold on, David. I'll give you a definition.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, multiple championships, obviously in a short range. Okay, dominance. How well you dominate a team? Level of competition. Okay, of that level of competition.
Wait! Hold on. Hold up. No, hell no.
Yes. What are you talking about? How's that not factored in?
Hold on.
Alabama went 3 out of 5? Alabama
yeah.
won 3 out of 5 years? Yeah, they did a great job. I mean, I don't really get your definition of dynasty because, to me, I look at Miami when they started playing D1 football to now, and I don't know another team that has been able to do that. You know, Miami wasn't playing. They weren't playing top tier D1 football in 1937. So if you look at when they started to now, I don't know another program that's been able to produce that kind of result.
That's a good point.
But hold on, let me say one thing before, because I know y'all want to go back and forth. Let me say one thing before I get off. Miami has lost more championships than most people have played in. Because they got 5 and they lost 5. And in that time period in which they started playing D1 ball, most teams have not been in 10 championships. Miami's been in 10 championship games. So I just look at what they've done over that period of time since they started playing top-tier D1 football. You know, when Miami was doing their thing, Alabama was not even considered a factor outside of that one team they had when they beat Miami. Between that year they beat Miami until Saban showed up, I never heard anybody talking about Alabama football.
Me neither.
Alabama was good in 1993. They were good in 1994. They fell off in 1995. Yes.
And then when did they – hold on, because I want to go back and forth what I'm saying. So you said they fell off in 95. When did they come back to become a national
They won the SEC in 1999. All right. 2000, they had a bad year. And then Saban came back in like 2000. I don't know if it was until then about from 2000, 2001 until when Saban got there. I can't remember exactly. 2007, I believe, when Saban got there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So between that year that Alabama beat Miami in 93, Miami still had good teams all the way until 2001. And they was on suspension some of them years. And see, a lot of people forget about the fact that they was on suspension. That kind of knocked them off. So I don't like to go back and forth because we actually got real documentation of what they've done. I'll let people argue as much as they want to argue, but Miami has been in 10 championship games since the Howard Snellenberger era until the Butch Davis era. The Coker era. They've been in 10 championship games. Most teams, we got teams been playing football like Florida since the 1900s, ain't been in 10 championship games.
Yeah, but Alabama has 13 national championships. Alabama has 13 national championships.
When did Alabama start playing football? When did they start playing football?
I don't know the exact year. 1800, okay. But still, you were saying Miami has 13 national championships. You're saying Miami's been to 10 national championships. Alabama has 13, 14 national championships. I think it's 14 now.
You're exactly right.
So Alabama has been to more than probably 15 to 20 national championship games.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And you know what? Alabama was playing football when black people couldn't even go to Alabama campus. But you're exactly right, though.
You're exactly right. Yeah.
I agree with you.
What does that have to do with the argument? We know that. We know that.
I don't consider no segregated teams the national championship. I don't consider none of those national championships.
We can take that out. Alabama is still.
I said Alabama, you can't take nothing from them. What I said is that nobody has done more in that length of time that Miami has done. Nobody has done more than that in that length of time.
And let me say this, too. I wouldn't even really factoring in Alabama's national championships during segregation. I don't even care about that. I was just saying the Alabama of this era, this five fast years in the Miami in the 80s, that's the only two eras I was really comparing. And I said this era of Alabama is a little bit better than that team because of the path to get there. That's all I said.
Well, what Miami did in 84, there's never been an Alabama team that had done that. I don't think he was watching football in 84. What Miami did in 84, there's no Alabama team in this era that's done what that Miami team done. Y'all might need to do y'all research because what Miami did in 84, Alabama didn't have to do that to win a national championship.
Well, I don't know what Miami did. They won the national championship, but I wasn't watching it.
Catch that on YouTube and do the research. What they did in 84, Alabama had never had to done that in this era to win a national championship because in 84, nobody knew who the hell Miami was. Nobody even knew they didn't even know what Miami, Florida was in the United States of America. So that's what a lot of people don't realize. You know, Miami is a common team now. I remember when people thought Miami was just a place for retirees. So for them to put out a national championship caliber team, Alabama has never had to do that. Alabama had a team in the 40s. Everybody knows Alabama football.
That's true.
Historical.
I'll give Alabama this. I mean, I'll give Miami this. Miami, overall, probably since past 30 years, Miami is the most dominant. I say they're the most dominant team over the past 30 years. What do you think about this?
In terms of this team, you talking about team and not championships? Hold up,
you're not going to try to weasel out of this. Yes or no,
Hold up,
you're trying to change what I said.
I really don't know that. If they're not number one, they'll be number two, let's just put it that way, because I don't know how to think about that for a second.
Okay, off the top of your head, who's number one?
In the past 30 years?
Ah, shit, you're stalling.
I'm not stalling shit. I gotta think about it, man. I have to look at the.
I just said off the top of your head.
You can say Florida State. You can make a case for Florida State.
What do you say?
You can make a case for Florida State. If you're talking about dominant teams.
No, you can't.
Florida State was a good team in the 80s. They were a good team in the 90s.
No, they weren't. You name me a team better than Miami.
We ain't got to go through that.
Okay, so through the 2000s, when Florida State won 10 straight, that Florida State had 10 straight years of winning 10 or more games.
Hold up, when did they, in 2004, 2005, they weren't very good.
In the 90s, Florida State had 10 straight years.
That's the 90s, Glenn. That's the 90s. We're talking about...
But you said the past 30 years.
Okay, so for the past 30 years... What?
You can make a case for Florida State.
No, you can't.
I can't make a case for Florida State. I can clearly see this Miami. You make the case for Florida State.
Yeah. I'm not making a case for Florida State. I don't really care right now. I'm just thinking about dynasties right now. I really could care less right now, man, to be honest with you. I'm thinking about dynasties, man. And this Alabama dynasty,
okay,
I think, is the best in the past 30 years.
Okay. We'll accept that.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
And nobody agrees with that, fuck up.
I know. You don't agree with it anyway. I don't care. But which is what?
Hello?
Yeah, Steve, what?
Yeah, go ahead. Let me read something. Let's compare the last seven seasons of Alabama football to the first seven seasons of the Hurricane Dynasty from 1983 to 1989. During that span, the Hurricanes won 74 games, lost only 11, the winning percentage. They have 5 national championship contenders in 7 years. Miami dominated all the home games. Alabama only won 42 out of 50. Miami won 41 out of 45. So who had a better percentage? Miami. Alabama beat teams 32 to 14. Miami beat teams 33 to 13. Bottom line, Miami had a better team. You know, that's it.
What do you have to say about that, Carzo?
All right, so hold on. Let me look at this. You said the past 7 years?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Let me tell you, for those who don't know, whenever Carzo repeats a question, that means he's stalling and about to try to make something up.
No. I'm just trying to make sure we're all on the same page here. Hold on.
I can give you the article.
No,
this
I got
is
the
a,
article right here. Hold on.
It's a,
Miami won the Orange Bowl. Miami won the national championship 83-91. Okay. In that span, they lost one game in 83, 5 games in 84. That's 6. 2 games in 85, that's 8. 86, they lost one game, that's 1 game. That's 7.
We're talking about 83, 89.
So let's talk about the error. Okay, 83 to 89, that's fine. Yeah, y'all got 3 national championships from 83 to 89, right?
And they went 5 times.
Okay, you went 5, whatever. But I'm just saying, you just look at the win-loss record from 83 to 87. Why is it 89?
Because we won it in 89. We won it in 83, 87, 89. That was a Hurricane Dynasty in the 80s.
89 is the end of the 80s, Carvel. Stop it. You're acting crazy.
Yeah, I know that. Hold on for a second. All right, 6 years, right?
7.
No, but, no, but,
Nobody's got a fixed date.
You're comparing 83 to 89, right? Let's compare 2008 to 2013, and you have 83, 89. That's the same amount of years. Okay, 6 years.
Right. Miami outscored opponents 33-13.
Alabama has 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 9 losses. Miami has 1, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11 losses. Okay, so we have 7 losses. Y'all have 11 losses within the same
time. Wait, hold on, Quazell. Did you start it in 84 when Steve told you, or did you try to move it back to 83?
No, I did 83 to 89. You want to do 84? I do 84. You want to do 84?
When is Miami's first national championship?
83.
It's the 83
okay,
season. The game was played in 84.
I mean,
okay,
I'm looking at the 83 season, y'all won the national championship, okay?
Miami Hurricanes were 74-11 that year. I mean, years. 74-11.
Okay. And you look at Alabama's, Alabama only lost 7 games.
Their win percentage was 0.871 versus Alabama's 7.96. I mean, 0.796.
Hold on. In 84, y'all lost 5 games. Alabama never lost 5 games in our dynasty. The most we lost in our dynasty was 3 games.
We're talking about through the span.
Okay.
You're comparing two extra Miami years to you guys. If you're going from 83 to 89, and are you doing the past 7 years of Miami of Alabama too, or are you only going from 2008?
I'm going from 2008. Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Okay, that's not 7 years.
Our national championships are a little bit more compressed than you guys. Hold on, you got one national championship, and then 4 years later you win another one. Whereas our national championship is over for like 5 years to each other. So we got a more compressed dynasty.
You see what I'm talking about, Steve? Now he's about to start acting crazy. You know what we're talking about, Quazell. Just stop it. Just go. Look, if you want to be fair, just go to the past 7 years from Alabama.
Kelly, you're the one that's not fair. You're never fair, man.
The fairest way to do it is if you're gonna use 7 years of Miami compared to the last 7 years of Alabama. That's the fairest way, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Compare to 5 years. Do 5 years.
Oh shit. See, okay, so basically you want to do it to Alabama's advantage then.
Do 86 to 91. Do 86
no.
to 91.
No, 87 to 92, buddy. 87-92.
Okay, go 87 ahead.
87-92.
But you're factoring out the 86 you got a loss there, man. Whatever, man.
Nah.
You want to pick out your years.
I can't pick out my years, you pick out yours. Exactly.
And Kelly Rice is taking your side just to take it, man. Whatever, man. I'm done with you, man. You guys are crazy, man.
I told you, Quazell will not be wrong in this kind of argument ever. I'm telling you.
You're the one that's not going to be wrong. That's the problem.
The thing is, Quazell has been talking about these dynasties for years.
Thank you. Here's the thing. Quazell wants to choose the years. He wants to choose the era. Everything has to be suited for where he wins the argument.
That's Cali Mike that does that shit, man. Whatever.
He said how you gonna use the years you want.
He was doing the same shit if you acting like that, man.
I told, okay. You notice how when I say usually the last 7 years in Alabama he got quiet and didn't want to do that, right?
He don't
want to talk about those post Nick Saban years. He don't want to talk about that.
Mike Shula?
Yeah, he wants to leave those years alone. Those years he doesn't want to worry about those.
Because if you look at it, that's the thing that made the dynasty so great is that they went through different coaches. It wasn't the same coaches all them years.
That's true.
You had Snellenberger. You had Jimmy Johnson. You had Dennis Erickson. So you can't say it was the coach. You had to say it was the players coming to Miami ready to play. That is true.
Like I said, I'm trying not to be biased, Clausell, but that's another factor that, you know, to put the edge in Miami's favor. I didn't even think about that. That is three different coaches, bro.
Clausell,
are
you still on air?
Yeah, I'm on air.
I mean, you guys...
He got quiet on that one. He got quiet.
Whatever, man.
I told you, if the argument doesn't go the way he wants it to go...
I think our dynasty is a little bit better than yours, but I don't think we have a team as good as that 2001 team. But I think this year's team may have the potential to do it.
Well, let me say this, though.
We have to see.
We have to make it from what? When was Miami's first 10-win season? Was it 2000?
10-win after the probation stuff?
Yeah, like under Butch Davis.
Yeah, it was 2000, and we spanked Florida in the Peach Bowl or something like that that year.
And that was the year y'all kind of got cheated out of the national championship.
We beat Florida State. But we can go to another aspect on that.
I want to say something real quick to respond to David. He said that Alabama's been playing in the 40s. Miami's been playing in the 20s. What the hell?
Yeah.
They had a season in 1927.
Get the fuck out of
here. Yeah. But anyway.
Miami wasn't a football team.
Get the fuck out of here, man. They had a team in 1927.
Like I said, when they started playing top-tier football, everybody knowing in the 20s, Miami was not playing top-tier football. But if you want to pull that out, go ahead. I ain't mad at you.
Miami wasn't playing football back then, man. They were just there.
They had a team. Let's just put it that way.
I ain't mad at you. We'll pull it out.
Steve Spurrier almost lost to him. That's why he didn't want to play Miami. Miami almost ruined Steve Spurrier's Heisman Trophy chances. Steve Spurrier had to have a miracle. Play. Man, come on, man. That FAMU team was stacked back then.
Yeah, this is what people don't understand. Y'all comparing a school that essentially I longed for was an independent that was beating state school. And that's what y'all comparing it to. Y'all comparing a school that started off as an independent that beat state schools as an independent to state school. That's what y'all still don't understand. That y'all comparing them to Alabama, which has been a state school for like 300 years. There's never been a team that has done what Miami has done. Boise State can't do it. These independent schools cannot do what Miami has done. And they don't get the credit for that for a lot of people that like to hate for whatever reason or another. You see what I'm saying? And that's what people don't understand. Miami was an independent private school in Coral Gables that was playing, that beat Nebraska, a major program, a major state school. And people don't get that. So, I mean, that's what I don't understand, the argument. Comparing them to Alabama, they shouldn't even be in the same conversation as Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm with you when you're right.
Cross-argument,
Cordell? No, I don't have anything to say.
You can't say nothing. You can't argue with the movement back then.
No, I'm not arguing with that. No, I'm just saying our dynasty. I'm comparing the dynasties.
I'm not comparing the programs
or like what like how far they came or whatever the case is. I'm just comparing what they did on the football field. That's all I'm comparing.
Yeah, but listen, but that's what I'm saying. You're comparing a small private school in Coral Gables to Alabama. And even if we're not as good as y'all, we're still in the conversation. This is what y'all don't understand.
Well, yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's good that y'all in the conversation.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm comparing USF basketball to Kentucky basketball. It shouldn't even be a conversation with those two. So the fact that Miami is even in the conversation means they did something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They did something, but what I'm saying is, in terms of who's the better, who played better basketball, that's all I'm just saying, who played better football.
Y'all got it, dog. Because I still don't think you understand that it's not even a level playing field. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, Carvel, let me ask you this question.
Is a big deal.
Let me ask you a question, Carvel. You just said something to me that's very, very important when you look at a dynasty. You said the level of play. Okay, and I'm going to be completely truthful. When I watch 2001 Miami and when I watched like 2004 USC, I knew that those dudes weren't going to lose. Has there been a Miami team an Alabama team during this stretch where you were like, okay, I know that this team, hold on, man. Has there been an Alabama team during this stretch where you were like, okay, I know that this team is going to whoop their ass?
The Notre Dame games? You didn't think they were going to whoop their ass?
No, Notre Dame. That was actually luck, man. I mean, Notre Dame was underranked. I mean, Notre Dame wasn't. USC was favorite to blow them up.
Whoa! You didn't want to give Alabama their credit. But when we watched that Alabama game, we knew that Alabama was going to whoop their ass.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying.
No,
I'm saying that
Notre Dame.
In the Notre Dame USC game, USC was heavily favored, so they were supposed to win. Notre Dame played a hell of a game. What I'm saying is, in the Alabama game, like when Miami was beating their team in 2001, you knew Miami was going to whoop this team's ass. It wasn't no matter of fact. But okay, like let's say once Texas A&M, now that we know that they got Alabama's number, don't we always think okay, Texas A&M always has a chance of beating these guys now? You understand what I'm saying?
I mean, not really. I mean, even that 2001 Miami Hurricanes team, they had a tough time against Boston College. They had a close game against Virginia Tech that year.
I'm not saying that they're not going to have close games. What I'm saying is that those were flukes, though. Those were flukes. Texas A&M has proven that they're not a fluke. Auburn has proven that once they get better players. Like remember, I told you that as soon as Gus Malzahn came in the SEC, and you told me I was full of crap. As soon as he came in there, I said, give it a couple of years, they're going to beat Alabama.
Didn't I say that? I didn't say you were full of crap.
I'll find the recording. But okay, didn't I say that once they hire Malzahn, I said give them a couple of years, and they're going to be at the top of the SEC?
No, you didn't say they're going to be at the top of the SEC. You said they're going to be good.
Jesus. Okay, whatever, dude. Like I said, either way, when Miami would have a close game, it would be a fluke. You know, like I said, these games that Alabama are playing, Alabama shows you the chinks in their armor. They're good teams. I'm not going to, like I said, they're a dynasty. They're good at a dynasty. But what I'm saying is, They're not the powerhouse juggernaut that you're trying to make them out to be. They're not.
No, because the level of competition is a lot better than now than it was back then. That's my point from the original.
I mean, like I said, Texas A&M is not overflowing with number one draft. I mean, come on, bud. Who had Auburn picked to go to the national championship last year? Come on, man. And they whooped y'all ass. Come on, dude.
They didn't whoop our ass. What are you talking about, man? See, that's so sad, man. You're talking about they whooped our ass. They barely beat us in the last play. Get the back. See what I'm talking about, man.
You're lucky I'm not in the studio, or else you know. Okay, but you understand what I'm saying, though. Miami, I mean, Alabama is not that type. Alabama is just not that type of team. That's what I'm trying to say. Even
even when Florida was good and Florida was beating teams, I was like, okay, Florida about to whoop their ass. I don't feel that same way about Alabama.
Because Alabama doesn't have a passing. They don't have a passing attack. That's why. They're not an all-around team to me. They've ground and pound.
Exactly. Okay, yeah,
they can't ground and pound.
They
get lost.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Alabama. You're right about that. That's Alabama's thing. They don't pass that much.
The 2001 team, they could run and throw the football. That's the difference between Miami's 2001 team and all the Alabama teams that's been in the national championship. Miami could run and pass the ball, and they had a dominant defense on top of that.
And clearly, that was the same with USC. That's what I'm saying about Alabama, man. They just. I mean, like I said, and I'm not trying to take away from Bama. But they just don't. They don't pop. You know, it's like I said. It's like I feel that if I get another good team, you know, it's like okay. Let's say this, and I hate to use this analogy, but Alabama is not the team I'm going to pick if I'm playing. If I'm playing NCAA 2004, I'm not going to pick Alabama. You know, I'm going to pick Oregon.
Right there. And that's why And that's why I said, man, we don't get the respect that we deserve. That's my original point from the beginning of the conversation. We don't get the respect that we deserve in terms of the level, the dynasty that we have, you know.
Okay, but what I'm saying
nobody's knocking what y'all did.
Yeah, nobody's knocking it. It's just not the same level.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean,
y'all get the respect.
Y'all get the respect. We give y'all the respect, but what I'm saying is it's unusual that to some people, they always want to compare Alabama to Miami. So Miami must be the standard, and I don't understand how a small program is a standard to a big state school.
Well, when I'm comparing national championships, I'm not comparing, like, the endowment. I'm not comparing I'm just comparing the X's and the O's, the football. I'm just comparing the football. I'm not comparing
the program. That's a result of their program.
I'm not really comparing the programs. I'm just comparing the X's and the O's, the football.
And you got to look at
the
NFL no matter what you say.
But what I'm saying it's funny how Miami keeps coming up in the conversation as if they must be the standard. So how is such a small program the standard compared to such a large program?
Because they've won more national championships. They won a lot of national championships in the 80s. A lot of people
and that's what I'm saying. And that's what nobody seems to get. That's what nobody seems to get. Miami was beating people as an independent, beating big state schools as a small independent school. They don't get the credit for it. So everybody want to talk about how they so much better than Miami, but their school has never done what Miami has done. Alabama has never done what Miami has done. Not taking nothing away from Alabama. But they never done what Miami has done. And they don't get the credit for that. I give Alabama their credit. They're a great program. Always been a great program. Bell Bond with a great coach of all time. We give them their credit. But it's always this attempt to downplay what Miami has done and try to boost somebody up. That's what Miami fans don't like because people have been hating on Miami since the 80s. It's always this effort to downplay Miami football. If you're doing what you're doing, do what you're doing. You ain't got to downtalk Miami to do what you do.
Okay.
All right, look. This is what we should do. All right, y'all hit up the CMT page. We're gonna come up with criteria that we're gonna have for a dynasty, and then from that criteria, we're gonna go. Maybe next week's show, we'll go through. And we'll pick who we'll vote. We'll use the criteria. That way we can't say anybody's making shit up or being biased. We'll use
the
criteria.
Because you and Tex are going to have the same bullshit-ass criteria. Who does it?
No, like I say, everybody will pick the criteria. We'll vote for it. We'll vote which criteria is going to be in and what is it. And then we'll use that criteria. And then we'll go through the dynasties and we'll look and see who's the best dynasty and who the best team is. And we'll have our official CMT Firestorm best college football team and best dynasties.
Can I say something though? Can I say something before y'all end that?
Yeah, go ahead.
When ESPN and all these, you know, big networks went through on who's the best teams and who's the most dominant teams,
They weren't just looking at what they did in college. They're looking at what the players did in the next level to say that team was that great.
That's what I said.
It wasn't
that,
just what
that's,
it,
okay. That's one of the criteria that I say. Like I said, I think you have to count NFL production. Clausell said you should. So that'll be one of the things we'll have to debate over.
But, I mean,
you know, that'll be, you know,
stay in the argument though. They got to do that to stay in the argument. Because everybody know what mine has done as a football factory. I mean, we ain't even got to argue. That shit don't even make no sense. So the only way we can have a fair argument is to take that out of the equation. Because if we start comparing, you know, what they've done and how they matriculated guys into the pros, it's not even going to be an argument. USC could talk about it, but, you know, other schools ain't even going to be able to have a conversation. USC can have a conversation.
So you don't think that we should include NFL production?
I mean, if we do that, a lot of people, like, they can't even sit down at the table.
Right. You're right about
that.
Well, Florida State.
Well, okay, let's just say, okay, it'll be like you have Miami, USC, Texas, Florida State, Michigan maybe.
Ohio State could be in that conversation.
Hold on, you talking about people that don't just send people to the pros? Because Alabama has sent a lot of people to the pros the past 3 years.
No, we talking about when you get
like
them,
I say,
them. Not just send them, though. When they get it, you can't
get it. Okay, Clausell, can you admit this to the majority of players in the
game?
Majority of the players that come out of Alabama are fucking bust.
Oh,
dude, what's wrong with
the bust? Julio Jones is a bust?
No, Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson are. Trent Richardson, who got traded after his first year. Who's the number one? Name the last number three pick that's gotten traded after their first year.
Exactly.
What's D. Milner doing out there?
Oh, D. Milner came on at the end of the year. I don't know what you're talking about.
Taking up the play.
The cornerback that went to the Bengals.
Dude, he's such a bust. Drake Kilpatrick. I thought he was going to be good, too. He's such a bust.
He's been hurt.
And when he wasn't hurt, he was a bust.
Mark Barron. Fucking Rolando McClain, who played for the Raiders, who was garbage. who retired and since he's unretired, he's been traded twice already and he hasn't even played it down in it yet.
how do you let Sam Shields be a better cornerback than anybody that came out of Alabama these past 3 years? How do you let that?
Wow.
You just want to curtail your argument, man.
How do you? And Sam Shields.
What you want to do, man? You want to just curtail your argument? I'm talking about college teams.
No. Like I said, that's what I'm saying. We're gonna. Okay, like I said, I'm gonna write it up and I'm gonna put it on the CMT page. We're gonna get all the criteria down. We'll choose.
That's like comparing Duke and North Carolina. And you want to say, okay, you know, even though Duke has more championships, but you want to say, okay, well, let's see about who does what in the league or something like that. Obviously, North Carolina.
What are you talking about? Duke got Carlos Boozer still banging in the league. Duke had Elton Brand.
Duke had Grant Hill.
Duke
players, you look at Duke's dynasty, you look at North Carolina's dynasty, North Carolina has better players.
Exactly.
They got Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson. They got a lot of players, man. Rasheed Wallace. I mean, you can go down the list, man.
Some of them players the same amount.
Grant Hill. Christian Laettner.
Exactly. Laettner, Grant Hill.
Oh, my God. Whatever.
Carlos Boozer, Jay Williams before he was hurt.
You had to do something in the league, right? You had to do something. But I don't even want to argue that, man. You're right, man.
Okay, look. Well, like I said, we'll come up. We're gonna write it up on the CMT page. We'll come up with something that everybody agrees with. I guess, like I said, I'm gonna try to be fair with this, Clausell. We're gonna try to be as fair as possible. That way, nobody can complain.
Whatever,
and we're gonna
man.
Come up with the criteria.
Fair, that ain't even in your vocabulary, Kelly Mike. That ain't even in your vocabulary.
Listen, Listen, we're gonna come up with the criteria for best team and best dynasty, and we'll come up with those criteria. We'll try. If we don't do it for the next show, we'll try to get it for the next show. We're gonna come up with those criteria. Also, David and Steve, we want to let you guys know we're gonna be doing a fantasy football league, a CMT fantasy league, at least for all listeners too. If y'all want to get in on it, come to the CMT page. I think I'm gonna try to get Tex to be the commissioner because he's the king of all everything fantasy football. And we're going to try to get the fantasy football league going so I can whoop you guys up and show you how much better I am than you guys in fantasy football. Definitely look out for that. We're going to try to get that cracking. But seriously, though, we're going to try to get this down because I want to get this down packed. I want to get this packed, especially now that we're at the end of the BCS. We're coming to a new era, so I want to get the best, you know, get our own CNT best of the best. Once we get it up, I'm going to write everything up and I'm going to give it to Matt, and Matt's going to put it on the CHT on Sports. And put it on the webpage, and, you know, we'll get official. So, you know, look out for that. Well,
the first championship game of the BCS was Florida State. The last championship game of the BCS was Florida State. They were always in the picture.
Yeah. That's a good point. Can't really deny that. All right, Clauzel, do you have anything else you want to go over?
I mean, yeah, SEC – oh, yeah, Winston. I mean, he got his – $8 million insurance plan, you know. I think it was a wise move.
Yeah, like I said, definitely. Like I said, you know, I'm not really big on Winston right now, but I think that was the smartest thing he's done all offseason was do that. You know, I mean, like I said, I think that's, you know, to me, I think that's perfect, you know, especially for a guy that gets in as many shenanigans as him.
outside of the crab legs, what has he done?
You know, I think he's really going to need that, you know. I think all players should do that, really. That way you don't hear all these tragedy stories of somebody getting injured and, you know, or something crazy happening, you know. So I think, you know, I think every time I think about college football injuries, I think about that movie The Program. Remember The Program? Y'all seen that movie?
Actually, I've never seen that movie.
You never seen The Program?
No, I never seen it.
Oh my goodness, that's stupid. It was a college football movie. It looked like they kind of made it after, they kind of modeled it after Florida State. But it was this dude in the movie. He got injured. He was like the top linebacker, this black dude. And he was supposed to save his family, and then he got his leg broken. And of course, they told him he never played football again and all this shit. So every time I think about football injuries, I think about that movie. I get sad. So I want all these guys to get insurance because, you know. They're basically, you know, they're out there putting their bodies on the line. So, you know, hopefully, you know, like I say, it'll work out well for Jameis with that.
That wasn't that movie with 50 Cent, right?
No,
that was you never seen The Program either, Steve?
Nah, you can maybe download it now.
Oh man, David, you seen it?
Yo, man, they youngsters, man, they never seen that movie, man.
Oh man, dude, that makes me feel old, bruh.
Mike is younger than me.
you got to remember too, Clauzel's from a small town. You know, he's from a town where, you know, they used to have to go over to their neighbor's house to watch VHS. So, you know, he's from one of them types of small towns.
No, I'm not.
That's how they used to get down in Alabama, but yeah, y'all gotta watch the program. That's another thing we're gonna do. I'm gonna start coming up with some fun stuff. We're gonna have a CMT best. I'm gonna come up with the best sports movies too, because y'all gotta. If y'all haven't seen The Program, that means y'all been missing out on a lot of good football movies. So I'm gonna come up with a best football movie list. And we're gonna run down that too. Let y'all check that out.
Rudy.
It's gonna be Rudy on there. North Dallas 40. If you haven't seen that, I'm gonna put that on there. I got some good football movies. You know, we're gonna come out with that too. You know, The Longest Yard. You know, stuff like that. That'll, you know, the original one. That'll be fun. But anyway, anything else you guys want to bring up? Cause
I'm trying to think of some socially thing going on right now. Black women. I'm trying to think of something.
Well, oh boy! Of course, you know that dude got a that dude got a modeling contract, but I'm, like I said, I'm past worrying about that shit right now.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
What's wrong with these folks? Oh. The dude, the felon that everybody's like going crazy over, right? Well, the little women was like, oh, I'll bail you out, but he can't be bailed out. Buddy got 10 years.
I was just telling somebody, like, how you get a modeling contract, you're about to be in jail for the rest of his life. You know, what sense does that make? But, you know.
They're going to let him model up in his prison best. You know what I mean?
Well, I tell everybody, don't
black,
trust hair.
You know?
Don't trust hair ads. You never know what they're going to do. Seriously, you get around too much of them, something stupid is going to happen. They start bailing people out of jail and shit like that.
I'm just glad the show is back, you know. A lot of topics, a lot of things we could talk about.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get it on the crack, and like I said, we're gonna, you know, get everything running back in the full force. We're missing a couple of people right now, folks, you know. Folks got, you know, had to work during the evening and stuff like that. We're missing Tex and Mike, you know, they both got jobs, so we're gonna try to get them back on soon so we get the full team back on, you know, be hitting everybody with full force. But anyway, let me go ahead and close things out. It's kind of early past time anyway. I'd like to thank everybody for calling in. Thank you guys for joining us. Like I said, we're going to come back next week. Check out the CMT group. Like I said, start adding people to the group too, because I'm just only going to start getting a lot of people added to the group so we can start getting a lot more publicity out there. Anyway, y'all have a good one. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Yeah.